Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, country, and one nation under God. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2023, and a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. But first, let's start with the American Creed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic. A democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots have sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it's my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Do you agree? With that being said, I've got to say, I love my country. It's my government I am afraid of. And I'll tell you, with what we're going to talk about tonight, you should really, if you're not afraid, I don't know what you're thinking. Because tonight we're going to talk about who really owns America. Does America really exist? Does the United States of America truly exist? And if it's owned by all the world, it's owned by others, and it's been up for sale for years, what is the United States of America? Who owns it? So we're going to talk about that. But before we go, there are a few other topics I'm going to put out there. I mean, it's just, oh, my goodness, so much. And also, right now, let's see, the chat is open, and we seem to be doing better. Last week, you may remember, Blog Talk Radio was acting up. So I'm hoping we don't have those same problems tonight where people were having a hard time calling in. Some called in, but some could not get through. So hopefully everything is okay. And the other, as I go over some of these things before we take the deep dive into tonight's topic, who really owns America, we got to really think the treason, the evilness from within, how many years these people have been trying to destroy this country, and we really have to say, does the United States of America truly exist today? Is it just a just imagination? Nothing really. It's all fake. Fake country. We talk about fake news. Are we a fake country? And I'm going to go down the list. Going down on some topics for tonight. Other things that just kind of tie in. It's like when you realize how evil people are from within, how badly they're trying to destroy this country, and how they're sacrificing all of us. It doesn't matter what party. The Democrats and the Republicans are doing it together. They are. I sent an email out earlier this week in reference to Fargo, North Dakota, where it was jihad in Fargo, North Dakota, a Muslim terrorist attack. And I'm not going to try to go into all the details. I'm calling it out to say this was all part of Obama's refugee program. And, I mean, I remember seeing this is how Omar's out there, you know. These people that were brought in as refugees, supposedly to help them, from what I remember, if anybody wants to dispute it, please feel free to share your opinion. But the way I recall it, he brought in these refugees and he planted them in specific cities, smaller communities, so they could take over local government, basically. And that's what's happened across this country. You have cells of these groups of refugees who in this case appear to turn out to be some type of Muslim terrorist. So literally the president of the United States by the name of Obama was planting cells across our country to take over. I mean, that's truly the way I see what he did. Can I prove that in a court of law? Well, if I had enough money, I'm sure I could. But absent of it being able to hire any attorneys and do that type of stuff, I probably couldn't. But I think it's pretty obvious if you go out there and look and see what he did. So, you know, and he's always said, I mean, let's face it, he was the first non-American to be elected president. The people down in Kenya, I guess, like him or whatever. So anyway, think about that, a true Muslim terrorist attack right here on this homeland and almost nothing being said by the media. Yeah, well, I heard it on Glenn Beck one day. I went out there and did some looking, and you can go out there and just do a search on it. Fargo, North Dakota terrorist attack. Was there jihad in Fargo, North Dakota? Jihad coming to America, coming to a town near you, kind of thing. And just remember how, if you go out there, I haven't got any kind of information to say how many of these refugee groups he dispersed across the countryside, but he did that. And, I mean, you think about Omar, she's up there complaining about America, yet she was brought here as a refugee. And look how much money she is making from having been a refugee. And she's here condemning our country for making her rich and giving her all this stuff. It's sick. So what was the real reason for her being here as a refugee? Another plant. Another thing that came out today, and this I just really got this just a little while ago, and I'd heard it on some report. Excuse me. Good old China has a secret biotech lab in California. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Once again, we're letting all the enemies come in. We're setting up the terrorist sites and cells all across the country. Who's doing it? The people in the White House, people in Congress, and we the people are here totally clueless as to what they're doing and also defenseless. If you can't even have a peaceful protest on your Capitol, like Jan 6, then what do you think you're going to do if you try to do anything? Protest the the treasonous actions of this government. Then the other thing I think is really interesting, good old Ford. I keep hearing different reports. Ford is looking to lose somewhere around $4.5 billion on EVs, on the electric vehicles. Nobody wants them. The grid can't support them. They're dangerous. They're a health hazard. And, of course, they're bad for the environment because the batteries are worse than the fuel. So everything about the EVs is wrong, but we're not doing it because of the environment. That has nothing to do with it. This is all part of a fascist takeover of this country and a communist conversion. Excuse me. So, but that's what they're doing. Ford is so they're going to lose $4.5 billion. And who do you think is going to bail them out? And they're going to say, well, wait a minute, government. You're the leader. You're the fascist leader who told us to do this. We're only doing what you said. And now you're putting us out of business. We're losing $4.5 billion. You need to give us some money because we did what you said. So who do you think is going to pay a $4.5 billion loss of Ford for a bunch of EV cars that we don't want and we didn't ask for? That's not a free market. Understand, that is not a free market. That is not how the free market works at all. So that's that one. And speaking of energy, whatever, this one gets me. I keep hearing this stuff, the solar, they're preaching about solar energy and all this other nonsense. Okay, so we're putting solar plants, farms, whatever you want to call them, out there. We're destroying our agriculture land. We're destroying our food supply, and we're destroying the dirt underneath. That's all going to be destroyed. We're going to create more garbage from the solar panels that they don't know how to recycle and what to do with. So we're creating a lot of pollution in the means of some solar energy. At the same time, the same government that's pushing solar farms is also pushing, we have to put a cloud up there to block the sun to keep the climate, the global warming nonsense. Now, and yet I have not heard anybody, when I've been listening to different reports, I have not heard anyone say, well, wait a minute, if you're going to block the sun, then you shouldn't have solar panels. Your solar farms aren't going to work without sun, not to mention the other damage they do. But, okay, you're going to block the sun, but you're going to keep pushing solar panels. Aren't you kind of doing the opposite of each other? So, but no one's talking about that. Well, if you block the sun, you really can't use solar panels, not to mention we know it's all nonsense. It's all garbage. We need to stop polluting the planet. You know, we need to be careful and take care of the planet. But this insane sanity of what they're saying with the climate, it's crazy. But I haven't heard anybody say, well, wait a minute, what happens if you block the sun? What happens to your solar farms if you block the sun? I haven't heard anybody ask that question. The other good one here, and I only know a little bit on this one, too. So anybody wants to chime in on this, feel free to. Apparently, BlackRock has an awful lot of people, or more and more people, in the Biden administration. Now, can you imagine, this is who's handling our economy and our financial policies and whatever else. Biden and BlackRock. What a combination, you know. And apparently there's some leftovers from Obama that are in there, and then somebody else is going into it now. So BlackRock is taking over the Biden administration. I don't know how many of them are there, but that's another one. Then our vice president. She was out there talking about the electric vehicles and how wonderful it's going to be. You know, we get a clean energy and we reduce population. Now, some people tried to say she meant to say reduce pollution. Do you think she meant reduce pollution or reduce population? I think I know which one she meant. But she once again proves that she's an idiot. And she also was out there saying something. I'd seen it. Don't ask me where it was. But she's talking about what democracy is and how wonderful it is. But it's very sensitive. It's very whatever. And you have to be willing to fight for your democracy. Okay? Did she just promote fighting, like violence? What did she mean when she says fight for your democracy? What did she mean by that? Sounds kind of violent to me. I can only imagine what they would say if Trump or some others on the other side would say fight for your freedom. And then my joke of the week, if you want to call it that. Now, people are talking about how hot it is. Yeah, it's summertime. It's hot. I'm not even sure what the temperature is here in Florida at the moment in the panhandle here, but it is hot. It's been known to get hot in July. It's really not something new. But I did go and check and say the record high in the state of Florida was back in 1931. How many cars were out there in 1931? Anybody know? 1931 was the record high in Florida. And that was in Monticello, and it was 109. I think we're still in the 90s here in the Panhandle. I think in 94, 95, something around there. I think that's how hot it got. But it was 109 in Monticello, Florida, in 1931. Does that matter? But the thing that's going on now is they're going out there with this real feel temperature, the real feel. What it really feels like, well, it's 92, but you feel like you're 123, which is what I saw a couple days ago. It was saying the temperature was 92, but it feels like 123. Now, do you really believe that? Who really feels like? Who decides what it really feels like? Isn't that kind of stupid? But they want to get your attention. They want to create a crisis. They want to create fear, whatever you want to call it. Yes, it's hot. Make sure you have plenty of water. Don't let yourself get dehydrated. If you're got some kind of work you have to do outside, you know, take the precautions. It's called using your brain. It's using common sense. Certain jobs maybe have to be put off for a couple of weeks until it starts to cool down, whatever. But it's been known to get hot in July. And the other part that I really got to talk about, this is the one that's my favorite, if you want to call it my joke of the day, whatever. See, I was born and raised in Florida. I was born and raised in Orlando. And back in that day, which I'm getting older, and I happen to remember when there was no air conditioning in the school, and there was no air conditioning in our house. Gosh, and I remember it getting over 100 degrees, 101, I think it was, maybe 102. With no air conditioning. And we lived. We survived. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you talk to these morons who are out there reporting this stuff today, we should have all died. We should have died from heat stroke or something out there. But, again, people had some common sense. They didn't go stand out there, go do heavy work, whatever you want to call it, and dehydrate themselves and keel over. I mean, who knows? There probably was one or two who did it here or there who didn't understand what heat does. But if you have a brain, and if you actually got any kind of education in school, which we know you don't, it really isn't that – this is normal. This is not some extreme thing. But you're going to be so brainwashed by the nonsense that they put out there. So hopefully some of my Florida friends who listen and join the call, do you remember it ever getting hot in Florida in July? Has that ever happened before, or is this something weird? Because while it's hot, and to be honest, it's miserable, the humidity drives you crazy, and, you know – it's 92. Do I feel like it's 92 because it feels like 98 because of the humidity? I don't know. I know it's hot. It's not fun. It's not fun out there at this point. But it's really not something abnormal either. It's not what they're trying to make it sound like. Like, people got to shut down this nonsense. I'm telling you, you gotta tune it out. They just think everybody's so stupid, and if you follow along with it, then I guess you are. Either you're, what's the levels, three levels or levels of knowledge? Ignorant, dumb, and stupid, you know? Are you truly ignorant, lacking knowledge? Are you dumb and you have knowledge but don't know what to do with it? Are you stupid? You have knowledge and you know what it means, but you just choose to ignore it. Whatever. Whatever it will be, and of course, that type of thing, but it's been known to get hot in Florida in July. And just think, they don't want us to have air conditioning. So that's part of the plan. You're going to have that 15-minute city with no air conditioning. You can only walk 15 minutes. You're supposed to be able to go every place, either walk or ride a bike and be wherever you have to go in 15 minutes. And when you carry those groceries back from the grocery store out in the 92, 95, whatever degrees heat, and your ice cream all melts, oh, well, such is life. It's nonsense. The other thing, and then we're going to really get started here, the next week I'm going to have a show. I've got the show page started out there, but I'll be putting some more information. I'm going to talk about we have to have a silent revolution. It's, in a way, it's similar to a Cold War kind of thing, but the silent revolution. And what this really means, we are not going to save this country by going out there and taking arms to the street. That's not going to happen. That's not the way. The only chance we have, one, we have to take every action we can to protect that ballot box in 2024, which is going to take a lot. We need to be going out there and truly pushing if we could find some constitutional attorneys who truly wanted to make a difference, to challenge the closed primaries, but they have to do something fast. They have to get going now. If you could find a constitutional attorney who would openly admit that closed primaries and the federal elections are fraudulent, and some people would be scared of an open primary, but I happen to think if you had all the NPAs voting in the presidential primary, I think you'd see a big difference and what the numbers would show. Because right now you got with the no party affiliates being almost totally excluded from all federal elections, the primaries, close to 50% of the American voters are excluded from the presidential primary. Think about what that really means. Now, out of all those NPAs, no party affiliates, how many of them do you think would vote for Trump if they had a primary to vote on? How many do you think they'd vote for Biden? A lot of people are scared of that question. I don't think you should be scared of it. I think we should demand it. So the silent revolution, that will be part of it. The other part is to say what we have to do to start a new economy, an alternative economy. We have to start making things ourselves. We're going to have to come up with our own currency. And some of this is sort of happening a little bit now. I'm not really saying anything new here. But we truly have to, the silent revolution is for us to become a separate economy, and which includes addressing the currency problems and things like that. Absolutely refuse any vaccines. Absolutely do not give the vaccines to the kids. We have got to shut down the bioweapons they are using against us. What has happened there is so disgusting, and over the years, it's being proven. But because they did all this under the radar, and of course it was all because it was in our best interest, and so many people, not all of us, but so many people think, oh, the government would never hurt us. No, they're here to help us. What are you talking about? Kind of stuff. And after COVID, if you would still take a vaccine after COVID, I guess you have a death wish. I don't know. You'll drink any Kool-Aid, Fauci Kool-Aid they give you, whatever. But we really, the silent revolution has to be us totally rejecting what they are doing today. We have to reject, nobody should buy an electric vehicle. Nobody. And then we ought to be out there pushing for how bad the electric vehicles are for the climate, if it's really about that. We got to go out there and push. Well, wait a minute, John Kerry. No, it's not a family. It's not my private jet. Well, yeah, it is owned by the family, and yeah, I use it, but it's not mine. We can't keep listening to this nonsense. These people are trying to kill us. They really are, and I mean, it's just so disgusting. And at this point, I mean, it's this has been happening and gradually, and many of us have been talking about UNESCO and Agenda 21 and, I mean, all of this over the years, what the communist takeover. We've been talking about it for years, decades, and people kept saying the conspiracy theory. It's not a theory if it's true. And if you still think it's a theory at this point, you probably don't believe the Holocaust happened either. Because it's so obvious. It's right out there in front of us. It is so, so obvious. I don't know how much more somebody has to hit you in the face with it to prove it. If you are not convinced that they are trying to take down this country, you never be convinced, I guess. I don't know. I truly don't know. But it's to me, it looks pretty obvious. And with that being said, I'm going to put the topics out there, and we're going to talk just a very brief. I know I've been ranting here for a little bit longer than usual, but, well, maybe not. I don't know. Now I'm getting some kind of an emergency notice here. There's some kind of kidnapped child in Volusia County. Okay, that was just beeping in my ear. Sorry about that. I'm not in anywhere near Volusia County, so I'm not sure I can do too much help for them. But again, the abuse of children goes across the board on everything else we were just talking about. They are trying to destroy us on every level. But tonight, talking about who really owns the United States of America, who owns it? And you go back through and you go back to the U.S. Corporation, the Act of 1871. I have a lot of links on the show page tonight, so you have places to go and you can follow up on this, because we'll never be able to talk about all these into the extent that we need to. But there is a YouTube I was watching out there that I thought was really good to help explain the U.S. Corporation, because many people don't know that that ever happened. And basically, and I'm just going to put this at the highest level, after the Civil War, this U.S. Corporation, find it interesting on this YouTube how they explain what Lincoln was doing and all these what the other things that were happening in the background. But they basically mortgaged us out to Great Britain. So we had no money even back then. It was all the financial crisis we were facing and everything else. So we were mortgaged out to Great Britain. So Great Britain technically owns us since 1871, this U.S. corporation. And we're no longer sovereign citizens. We are property of the state, basically, the serfs of the state, whatever you want to call it. It's a disgusting situation. So start there, 1871. I truly don't know that we've been a country since 1871. I don't know that we've been a sovereign nation since 1871. After the Civil War, while we thought we were keeping the war, the Union together and all of this stuff, we kept the Union together, but we sold it. So I don't really think we've been a country since then. The other is, and some of the things, again, you'll see it on the show page, it was in 1871, February 21st, when Congress passed this act. They had no constitutional right to do this. They have no constitutional right to give away public assets and sell us off, but they're doing it. They've been doing it. They did it back then. And then you go beyond that, it was, we've talked on the show some, the George H.W. Bush, his executive order of 2803, where he literally puts us on the market. It is truly, literally, the U.S. is for sale. Anybody can come buy public infrastructure, public hospitals, public, totally selling out our public assets that we own, selling it to whoever. And, I mean, I would need a lot more time to go out there and truly dig up how many different countries, how much is truly owned, how much of America is owned by Americans versus how much of America, the United States of America, is owned by foreigners, foreign corporations, the Chinese Communist Party. How much of it's owned by all of them? And nobody seems to think that's a problem. How much could you do, if you went to China, how much could you buy there? Can you buy China? I don't think so. Can you buy Russia? I don't think so. So it's the evilness from within. And here we've got both the Democrats and Republicans. George H.W. Bush was a Republican, and of course part of the secret society, part of so much other garbage, the New World Order. He was the one who put, "We are upon a New World Order." That was George H.W. Bush. And right after that, somewhere around that time, he has his executive order. The United States of America is up for sale. That's what he did. So who owns America? Not the American people. And there's an article out there, and I'll go to it maybe a little bit later. in reference to, and this is the article itself, Who Owns America, from back then, and it goes into the details of the executive order. It gives, you got to see everything that's on the chopping block. I mean, we were truly open or on the market for sale. Come on in, people. Buy America. America's gone. America has filed bankruptcy and is on the chopping block. Come in. We're having a going out of business sale. Come in and buy up America. And that's really what it really truly amounts to. It's just, it's so unbelievable that this has been happening for so long and the people have been so clueless, as an uninformed, fake news, whatever you want to call it. It's a good old Jefferson, you know me and his quote, if you expect a nation to be ignorant and free, you expect it whenever was and will never be. We have been such an ignorant nation. How much of it was selective ignorance and how much of it was because of public education? That brainwashing to think that these people were protecting us because that's what they said they were going to do, because they took an oath to uphold the Constitution and blah, 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 and we trusted them. And we weren't trained how to properly be involved in our government. We were never educated in that. Never. At least I wasn't, and I know they're not being educated today. So you were not really, you were told to go vote. Your job is to go vote, and that was it. And because they took these sworn oaths, That's all you needed to do. You did your part because you went and you elected somebody. You elected someone to represent you. They don't represent you. They don't even call them representatives anymore. They call them congressmen, congresswoman, whatever. But nobody wants to call them representatives because they don't represent you. When was the last time you heard them call somebody a representative? When have you called them a representative? And bottom line, when did they represent you? They don't. They're out there. Once they've gone to Washington, D.C., they're in the U.S. corporation. They're in that other world. And if you, again, look on the show page, I got some of the screenshots that kind of give you a little bit of information on this stuff, on how what this really means. And you go out there. Don't take my word for it. I don't know if Joe's going to be joining us tonight or not, but Joe knows a lot about this America for Sale, the U.S. corporation. And you go out there and look, the name is all in caps. It's all part of the U.S. corporation, how we've become entities of the property of the U.S. corporation, Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. We have been taken over and we don't even know it. Like I said, does the United States of America really exist today? I think it's a phantom country. I don't think there's any sovereignty about it. The Patriot Act took away rights. Then look how many emergency declaration of emergency stuff has gone out there. We're under so many emergency things that suspends your Constitution. Well, it's a joke. It's a farce. A fake country. We really have become a fake country. It's just disgusting. Then the one last thing we can, I should say the 15-minute cities. Excuse me. The 15-minute cities are the. This goes into what's going on with the tribes. And do you realize the various Indian tribes have water rights? There's been all sorts of lawsuits on this recently, too. How the rights that they have to own the land and to sue us for water rights and whatever else. So what part of the United States of America is owned by the reservations and by the tribes? And everybody would say, yeah, with many things were done wrong when it comes to this stuff in the beginning. I'm not going down the history of how some of these things happened, but there's definitely stuff to that. But they also have, but because of the way things were handled, the water rights and how they can take ownership of land, it's a completely another whole piece of this. So does the United States of America really exist? So, and then the 15-minute cities. The 15-minute cities, as I was talking to someone else, they're putting us on a reservation. If you have to live in the 15-minute city, and some younger people will think it's all wonderful until they realize they can't do anything, when they're so used to doing whatever they feel like, they're going to realize they don't have that right anymore. You have to get a permit to drive someplace. They're putting us on a reservation. So there's a lot more talk about these 15-minute cities lately. It's really, think of the 15-minute city as the New World Order reservation. Reservation. They're putting us on the reservation. Not a reservation, a reservation. Tongue twister there. they're putting us on the reservation. They're treating us as the serfs. We are. We've already been taken down. And it's all based on the social credit scheme and all this other stuff. It's all right there. And again, I've got plenty of links out there. Go out there. You can check on the links that I sent you. You can go do your own research. You can see that they have gone out there and they've destroyed our country. We stood here watching, sat here watching, didn't know what was going on, trusted fake news because they were supposed to be honorable. And we have nobody here to defend us. And how much of the military has been totally corrupted to the point that we don't even have a military that will defend us? We have an invasion going on. It's all just it's so clear. I see several of you out there, so we will start at the top and go down the list of everybody that's calling in. And we're, again, I plan on running a little bit over tonight because there's so much here to talk about. And to me, all of this is so critical. People have to understand we've been sold out. We don't really even exist anymore. Our country has been sold off. Do we really have a country? I don't know that we do. I really don't. And then the last piece on there, which I know when I get Karen on this call, she'll probably be talking about this because UNESCO is one of her favorite topics. The UN owns historic landmarks, national parks, and this is all supposed to be some because they're so wonderful in there. It's all part of the New World Order. The United Nations has taken over our country, too. So what do you think that means? It's all part of it. So disgusting. And most people just don't have any idea, UNESCO and what the United Nations is doing. Why have we allowed the United Nations to take over our country, too? Who are the ones driving all of this? We have an element of evilness, of evildoers. And if we don't, and I go back to my question that I put out there, excuse me, quite a bit lately. Why would God bless America? Look what we have allowed to happen in the United States of America. What we've allowed to the harm we have done to each other, the evilness within that we have not done anything to stop. What did it mean when we took God out of public schools? God was part of this. God was part of this whole plan here, and we've totally rejected God, and it's taken the toll on the whole culture, what the culture stands for. Why would God bless the United States of America? I keep praying, I keep hoping, but I think a lot more people better get out there praying and hoping and asking for forgiveness for the evil deeds that we have done and to help us defend ourselves against these evildoers. Satan has taken over so much of this government, and I'm not going to get into all the details of that, but the evilness within, it is evil. They have sold us out. And I want the question of the night, do we truly have a country? Does the United States of America truly stand? Or is it just a facade? It's all fake. And what happens to the rest of the world when they all realize, we've already been sold off. America's already dead. It's already fallen. It's just a sad state of affairs. And I'm going to start at the top of the list. I see Cindy out there right off the top. Cindy, I have said a mouthful, and I can only imagine what you might be thinking of some of the things I have said. And thank you for joining the show. And what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure about the corporation. I know it's out there. There's a guy named George Lester Strait. I see it on Telegram. He runs these big events in Texas. And Ann Vandersteel, who I don't know where she is. She speaks at the Awakening Tour with Clay Clark and Eric Trump and all that. And I think she has something to do with Dr. Lozinko's foundation, who died about COVID. She is a nationalist, okay? She remarked about how they asked her for something at the airport. She didn't have it. She said, I'm a nationalist. So there are people that are going down that road. I know there's a man down in South Florida. He claims, you know, we don't have to pay taxes and all the above. And it's probably true. okay? But I also understand that going through that process of following the process is a long and involved, and you can make mistakes, and if you don't handle it a certain way. But, yeah, I do believe it, and nothing would surprise me. But it's too complicated for me, and these classes from David Lester Strait, I might be giving you the wrong name. I'm going to go look right now. He's a bigwig in this. I'm so skeptical of everything and everybody now because I think there's a lot of grifters out there. Now, that means, I mean, he couldn't be, maybe he's not a grifter. Maybe he's been around long before Trump came around. But I don't know. I don't know who these people are. I heard about them. I heard, you know, somebody came and spoke a long time ago at one of our meetings about the corporation. I've heard other people speak about it. But it seems like since Trump lost, was cheated, all these people came out of the woodwork. So, and, you know, I just don't know who's reliable. Let's just put it that way. Everybody's looking for money. So that's, I don't know. Well, we have no power anymore. You know, because here's why. So today, locally, I got my garbage bill. Yeah, they want more money for the garbage now because they had already given them more money. So I called my commissioner up. She's livid because the people, the staff now, who puts the budget out, they want to raise the taxes 5%. She's not doing it. She said nobody was at the meeting. So I said, all right, I'm going to try to get people to go to the next two budget meetings. So we had this conversation, and I said, who in this environment, who would do that? But you have to remember, Sally, this is what's going on. This was an article yesterday. The millionaires, I'm going to use my words, the millionaires and the billionaires and the trillionaires and the luxury is exploding. Houses are, mega houses are being built. Planes are being built. Motor yachts are being, and I can tell you that is factual. It is absolute. My cousin has a corporate job with Saks Fifth Avenue. They're not suffering. They are exploding because the mass of money is so incredible. And that's what has happened. They have crushed the middle class, if there is any left, down. And how, you know, and where are they going to get the money from? The taxes. They're not going to get it from those people. They're going to come to us and try to get it through all kinds of nefarious ways. So we are being crushed again. And, you know, I remember when George H. Bush was the president and he put a luxury tax in. Well, we were in the car business and the yacht brokerage business. So if you bought a new boat or you bought a new car, you paid a luxury tax on it. They rescinded it. But it crushed the industry. You know, we've been through like maybe three or four. You can never, you can't get back what you lost. And these people that are riding around and, you know, everything, you know, they're buying all these fancy cars. Somewhere in the future, that's going to stop because the big people are still buying their luxury cars. But the average guy is not going to go in and they're not going to spend $60,000 on a car. Nobody has that kind of money anymore, you know. So I think that this is the great divide. They've done it on purpose. This is why it was so incredible under Trump. I was more hopeful in 4 years than I had been. I guess I felt a little hopeful under Reagan, but I haven't felt that hopeful. No, the government is too big. It needs to be controlled, needs to be shut down. And you are seeing some of that. If you look at Trump's plan, he is talking about that and getting rid of the government agencies. But look at what's going on in Tallahassee. So this was my conversation today. Why do you want to raise taxes? Well, I'm not going to raise them. And you know, we don't have any controls. This is somehow Tallahassee now has taken more local control away from us. And she's going to explain it more in an email to me. In other words, Ron DeSantis in the state has done a lot of damage to the local municipalities by taking away local control and certain things that they must do, which comes back down to the taxpayer. okay? So as he's running around the country bragging and, you know, oh, we have so much money and this and that and the other thing, I said to her straight out, I said, you know, you're a state committee woman. I said, don't you think that that money belongs to the taxpayer? And don't you think that if we're so flushed with money in Florida that maybe he should return the money to the taxpayer? And she said, I agree. So it's hitting some elected officials, but they don't know. No, we have no control. And I've said it all along, in my opinion, if you want to really scare our overlords, the only way to scare them is for us not to pay our taxes. It's just to say, okay, well, I'm not going to pay all my taxes. I'm only giving you 50%. Now imagine if you got, I don't know, you know, if you got 500,000 people to do that. What's the population of the United States? A million people to do that. What are they going to do? Put us all in jail? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what they're doing. They're robbing us blind, and we're allowing it to happen. And the only control we have is our taxes. Think about it. And it's just incredible to me. And look at what else what they're doing now. Okay, we can't buy light bulbs. Nope, got to get those LEDs. Well, I've been out for 2 weeks buying as many incandescent light bulbs as I could find. Anywhere I find them, I buy like four of them because I am not going along with that bullshit either. Oh, and then he wants to take away our gas stoves. I have a 6-burner stove in my house. I have a propane tank. I called the propane people up. They said, can you top it off? Because now he's going to take your propane generator away if you have one. And then, what is he now? Today it was the washing machine. So, and I want to say to GE or to Whirlpool or to any of these companies, isn't that making it harder for you? I mean, you're there to build appliances. Now you're going to be told that you can't build you know, gas water heaters? What? I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, it's just amazing. And you know what? Some people still aren't affected. They're going on Disney cruises. Why would you go on a Disney cruise but your mom's from America? I'm very bitter about it. And today I had an interview with iVoter, Christian organization. They send a voter card out, and it was for a research job. And they do a thorough, you know, they don't endorse. They just give you the information. And they've been doing this a long time. Now, I don't know how many households that go to or who they send the voter cards out to, but it's all over the country, and they're very big. But I just thought to myself, even the way we vote doesn't seem to matter because we keep voting for people that we think are going to do something about something, and they do nothing. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it locally, in the state, or at the federal level. And so I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, you know, when you have the UN, when you have a website in your town and it says right on the website, UN Agenda 21, 2030, you've got to say to yourself, and living in a Republican county, why aren't people just saying, going to the city of Stewart and screaming and hollering and jumping up and down and saying, get us out of the UN. We don't want to be part of any plan, but they're not.
Well, and actually, there's Karen Bracken has had that petition out there, and I think a lot of people did sign on to say, get us out of the UN and stuff like that. But if these people, once they get into the corporation.
Right, but what do you do about locally? I mean, locally, it's been implementing. We're implementing it right now. We can get out of the UN, but they're implementing it because it's in the government. It's in the grants. So everything we do, you have to, in my mind, it's like the precinct project. I heard Steve Stern or whatever his name is on the radio today. And I think he's great. I think Dan Schultz is great. And I think good idea, get everybody on the RACs and, you know, whatever. But they're missing something. We do not endorse. The REC does not endorse. They don't even vet the candidates. So how do you know who you're voting for?
No.
And
yeah.
Why are you?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a waste of time.
Well, that's going back to what I said about the closed primaries. But if we could find, I mean, is there any constitutional attorney or anybody out there that has that expertise who could help us lead the charge, a class action suit? Because right now we truly have, I mean, with a closed primary and the way these two parties are doing the stuff, and the state sends their electors for who they're going to put on the primary, who they select for the primary, it's all such a garbage. It's not us voting for the president. The people are not voting. The political parties are voting, and they're so corrupt. Why would you, you know, it's disgusting, and they're truly violating our rights. And like I said earlier, the NPAs, 50% of the population is totally excluded out of the primaries, presidential primaries. It's so wrong, but I'm with you that we have to reject what they're doing. If anybody out there would ever take a vaccine of any type again, I just don't understand. And please don't give it to these kids. I mean, we would destroy these kids as it is. It's just so sick. It really is. But we have to reject it. That's the only thing. And if I could figure a way, you know, so say don't pay any taxes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I would love to have a national shutdown. Every American who's sick of what's going on, who is sick of the treason that's being done against us and everything else, mm-hmm. would just say, you know, and sit down, go home, stay home, do whatever it is, but you're not going to participate in society today. You're not going to do anything. And you do that and send a message. But how do you get everybody coordinated to do that? That's it, when you don't, especially if you're on a budget like most of us are on.
Of course, yeah. But plus, not only that, but, you know, now every time I turn around, there's another event, and they want another couple hundred dollars. I couldn't believe the prices of going to some of these events. Now, the Republican Assembly in Florida is having an event in October. Their tickets are expensive. Now, I'm sure they're trying to raise money, but, you know, there's just one after another after another after another. And they're not really helping the grassroots. The grassroots
people, that's us.
I mean, we don't have any money. Okay, but we're all doing all the grunt work while they're up there, you know. To me, I always tell people, politics is a business. And it's run like a business. It's always about the money. Yeah. And the patriots, like you and I, we're real patriots, and we've been doing this for free forever, and nobody's coming to our rescue. And it gets annoying afterwards. And, I mean, I understand, you know, you're Charlie Kirk, you got Turning Point, but those tickets were $800 for a VIP ticket.
Yeah.
And even
it's insane.
You know
they waste the money. It's not, again, they're not going out there to elect true patriots. That was what was so nice about the group, the Go Get Out of Our House organization that was out there a few years ago, because they were out there trying to help the grassroots, the citizens run for office. And it was so popular back then. It would be even more popular today if you could get some kind of a national movement on it. So a group that really would...
Right.
Promote the American people versus the corruption of these two political parties. It's so disgusting. And I want to mention one other real quick thing, then I go on to, like, I see Karen, John, Nathan, and Joe. I think I see them right out off the top here. The something that just came out this weekend, and I won't go into too much detail, but what DeSantis... Trump should stop calling the names. It doesn't serve any purpose. But anyway, DeSantis, now we're finding out that they passed a law. They did something to allow him to fund his presidential travels for the taxpayers. And we talked about this in the very beginning. First off, we're fed up that we're going to pay him to be running for office as he's collecting a salary while he's not really governor. He's a fake governor at this point. But now there's something where where the taxpayers are paying for his trips to Iowa and all this other stuff. All these places he's traveling, he's coming up with some line of what he probably has to do as a governor or whatever. Apparently, but they changed some law recently or passed something to allow him to bill us for his presidential campaign, basically. Did you hear anything on that?
No, but I'm not. But I did hear about the Ron DeSantis, and why would I be surprised? I'm not surprised about anything like that. I mean, I think they're all – I think they're all hooked on the money and they think they can get away with it. People are stupid. We're not stupid anymore. We, you know what? Social media, if you're on social media, you're reading all this stuff, and Laura Loomer's doing a great up job about DeSantis. But no, he's been doing he's really robbing the Floridian. I'm just thinking to myself, can you imagine when he comes home with his tail between his legs? What is he going to do? Is he actually going to go out there and speak in all these counties and get in front of people? I don't think so. And if you really want to go take it another step further, why is our Florida legislators covering up for him? Mine are. Why aren't they saying it? We should be putting the pressure on our Florida legislators and saying, listen, we've had enough.
Yeah.
The bills that they passed this year is doing, and you know what is coming next? I don't know if you've been listening, but FP&L, you can expect those energy hikes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's coming.
Yep. So Ron DeSantis, he was on set. He had done some good things, and he was actually on a better path. But he got, as soon as he got in with the Bushes and Karl Rove and whatever else, and his whole game to say anything, he should have just been there as an ally to Trump. And if anything happened with Trump, he'd be the one to step in, whatever. And, you know, 2028, if we ever get that far on this stuff. You know, he totally destroyed his credibility and his future, as far as I can say. I mean, I don't know anybody who's voting for him. He's all been seen now as a... as a traitor, a backstabber, and some, you know, nobody. Those of us who have any clue what's going on are definitely rejecting him. The ones who know what's going on and are not rejecting him are probably getting some kind of financial benefit or something out of it. But I know I'm not. So, okay, well, please hold on, Cindy. Let's go ahead and get Karen in here. And then, like I say, we've got Nathan and John out there, and I see Joe out there, too. We will get to you. I expect tonight's show to run a little bit late, so... just a reminder for anybody, if you're listening via the internet, at 9 o'clock that part goes away, so you want to call in if you want to continue to listen. Okay, Karen, are you there?
I am here, and what a wonderful conversation, as always, hitting the target, and that is of utmost importance. We can take a trip down memory lane for a few minutes when you remember that the person that was writing Obama's foreign policy was Valerie Jarrett, who was Iranian. And they devised this scheme program and first got many of the cities to be sanctuary cities so that they could dump off the refugees. And the first group was the Somalis. There was 80,000 of them, and they went to, I think, Minnesota, which is how we got Ilhan Omar, aren't we lucky?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's how we got all of them. And if you remember, Obama made a speech in the very beginning, and he said that America is going to become a lot browner under his program. And that was really the beginning of everything. Now, O'Biden is really a carbon copy of Obama because Trump got in the way when Hillary was supposed to be the winner and she was supposed to be doing all of the things that Biden is doing now. And that would be destroying the middle class. It seems as though their economic flavor is fascism, and fascism is a more of an economic policy that says that the ownership of corporations can be private. However, the government will make all the rules, and you will adhere to the government's rules. And that's how they got in the ESG. So this regime has a fascist economic policy and a communist social policy, because they also believe that they should own and control and manage everything, and they're on a plan to get rid of our elected officials. That's what this is also all about. They can't have people voting, of course, unless they control the elections. So that all leads to the same trough because everything that we're doing is connected. They had to weaken the military because our military was so strong, but we should begin at the beginning. And I keep on writing now that affirmative action, we are living the results of affirmative action. And if our kids, all of them, could learn to read, write, and do math and science, then we wouldn't need, and they wouldn't need, affirmative action. The problem, why, has nothing to do with affirmative action. It has to do with what they are not being taught. And now we all know that they're not being taught anything of substance. They are just being taught how to be freakish little transgenders. And weakening the military, well, he gave away all of our equipment. And I believe that leaving the things in Afghanistan was payback, probably for the money that they gave him, and this was Biden. And most people do not realize that the gift of Afghanistan was really given to China, because America walked out and China walked in. And guess what's in Afghanistan? Many of the minerals that are needed to produce those EV batteries. And yep. America could have controlled them. So just like moron communist Jimmy Carter gave away the Panama Canal, so Biden has given away Afghanistan. And it would have been very easy for us to remain there and help. There was only a very small amount of people that were there, and they should have stayed, and that's another issue. But it's all part of the same program. DeSantis, the bill you were talking about, the executive order that Bush wrote, I don't think people really know what was in that. And that is quite frightening, because what they did was they privatized all modes of transportation. And that means all modes. One of the things that they privatized, of course, were the ports. And in, what was it, in, let's see if I can find the date, but I think it was in 2018, Claire Lopez was on my show, and she was talking about the privatization of Port Kennedy?
Spaceport, Cape Canaveral.
Cape Canaveral, okay. Anyway, and as they were going to privatize it, they were, I guess, selling the lease to manage the containers that came in.
Right.
So instead of an American company managing what's coming into the country, we now have the United Arab Emirates, who are not managing, not opening, looking at less than 2% of the container ships that are dropping off their containers, and 2% are being looked at. Now, this is
let me ask you a quick question on that, because this was another Bush. This is why the Bushes are dangerous people.
Yes.
One was George H.W. Bush, who started with this, and then this was the other Bush. And I thought we had pushed it back. I thought people were really outraged by that port stuff going on, and I thought they had changed it, but they probably just reworded it.
What they did was they made it a lease instead of a purchase.
Okay, and the same thing they basically did on the California coast. They had Longport Beach, which was part of Long Beach Port, which was a military base. They signed a 99-year lease for China, and Trump canceled that one. Trump got rid of that one. But that's another example. This is, again, how we're for sale. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to throw that out there.
Oh, no, that's okay. I had sent a letter to Governor DeSantis with regard to this, because I discovered that this company, Gulf Tainer, first of all, there was no CFIUS vetting. They were supposed to be vetted. Nobody vets anybody. And CFIUS, which is the group that vets the private companies that are the foreign companies that are going to be domiciling in America. Anyway, this was, okay, let me read this. Apparently, without CFIUS vetting, the committee to vet foreign companies, the port under Governor Rick Scott has given a 35-year lease to a company called Gulf Tainer, run by the United Arab Emirates. Now, the scary thing is, next sentence, Gulf Tainer has a contract with a Russian company called Club K. The containers are rarely monitored. 2% of them are open. Club K has a very unique container. It can house missiles which can be activated remotely, and they place the missiles. They could be placed in the interior of the United States. Nobody knows because nobody's looking. So thank you, Governor Scott. And this is a problem with multiple ports in the country. So not only are they buying the land, and the land I believe they can own, but Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium to Russia. Where did that money go? Yeah. I didn't see it. I didn't hear the cash register ring. And I don't know if anybody else did. Now, what DeSantis did, the Florida House and Senate are run from the top down. Whoever is the president or the speaker runs the party and gets their information from the lobbyists and the Bushes, because they never left the state. So DeSantis, who is a Bush guy, got the Senate and the House to write a bill that would give him the ability to run for office while remaining as governor.
Right.
Now, that we all knew. Now, simultaneously with that, he wrote, I believe, an executive order which allowed him to transfer the money from his governor account into his presidential campaign account. And that was the part that is illegal. So he could write all the executive orders that he wants, but I believe that one is against, is it illegal under Florida regulations? I just got a hold of that, so I am not 100% sure. Now, the other moronic thing that the idiots that have graduated with affirmative action are doing is they want to block the sun. Think about that one. How stupid is that?
Yeah, I was talking about that earlier.
Do you remember a long time ago when people had vitamin deficiencies and they didn't have enough vitamin C and D, and then they discovered, oh, if they go out in the sun a little, they will get some of that back. And that's a symbiotic relationship. Also, if I remember correctly, we need the sun to help the plants grow so we can eat. If we block the sun, we kill the plants, and then we starve. And isn't
that
their
goal?
Yes, their goal is to kill us. They are thinking of as many ways as possible to kill us. And they will lie because it has nothing to do with land, has nothing to do with food. It has to do with the fact that they have decided that 1.5 billion is the maximum allowable people that they can manage to inhabit the earth that will be their serfs, and that they can throw in these 15-minute cities, which means also that some people think, oh, 15 minutes by car. No, it's not car, it's walking. walking or bicycles. So it's about a mile. Everything is within that mile. And if you want to go to the next city, well, guess what? You will have to swipe your, what did she call it? Your PRC, your, PCA, your personal carbon allowance. Everything you do will now be attached to its carbon value. So if you like meat, it might cost you 5 points. If you eat eggs, it might cost you 1 point. So imagine going to the grocery and saying, oh, you have surpassed your meat allowance this month. No meat for you. That's what is going to happen. Of course, if you eat bugs, they have a 0.03%. 0.03 allowance. Now, the rich people who live in Cindy's area, this is not going to affect them because they have enough money to buy carbon credits from the poor people who won't need them because they're given everything. So the rich people, if they need carbon credits, they can go to the poor people, and then the poor people can make extra money by selling their credits.
It's all pretty sick. This is where we're going, people. And trying to get others to understand this is not a theory. This is the truth. It's already happening in Canada and in other countries, and, of course, with Chattanooga with their 15-minute city, and they're planning on Miami being one. This is what's really happening. But I got to ask you now, kind of going back to who owns America, who's going to own the 15-minute cities? Well, we know it's going to be the bigwigs because we're going to be their first. It's a reservation. It's not a city. It's where they're going to house us in their
a prison. And, in old days, before they had all this technology, they called 15-minute cities ghettos. That's what this is.
That's really what
and
it
they
is.
Can have small businesses. They can't have small businesses because if the small business is outside your mile, then you won't be able to go there. So, therefore, they won't have it. So that's one of the reasons why they have to eliminate all the small businesses. That's competition. Yeah. They can't have competition.
Correct.
That's
they have to take ownership of all of it. They are
taking
ownership of everything.
And
now,
Toronto just say one thing. Toronto right now has been divided into four districts, and this is exactly what's happening. You need to show papers to go from one district to the other. Right now it's voluntary. So go put that chip in your hand. Go have that other vaccine booster so that they can follow you all over the place. Of course, there will be cameras. If you want to see what your life will be like, there was a great show that used to be on TV called Persons of Interest. Just go and look at the first minute of the show. You don't have to watch the show. It's unimportant. It's the first minute that shows you what they intend to do. It's real, like Sally said. It's real. It's there. And it will be happening. And we have to believe them when they say, we want to kill you, instead of not believing and saying, oh, they don't really mean that. They're just having a bad day. No, they want to kill us. They're not killing.
They're intent on destroying us. They have, as you said, they have their magic number of how many people should populate the planet, and you know they're going to control us and use us as they need us, and we'll own nothing and be happy, and because they know what's best. And for the useless eaters, they'll give us drugs and computer games. And I mean, this is what's happening in this. But when I want to get back to on here, which I know you are the expert on the UNESCO. Please explain to everybody how
One thing that you said, Sally, you said who really owns America. It isn't China. China is number five. I think
number five
Scandinavia, number five of ownership. It's the Western European countries. And for all of us Let us remember how many trips Rick Scott took to Europe to bring companies to America, to Florida. And we were all, yay, like little seals. Oh, ha, 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 come, bring, come here. But only they didn't hire American workers. They brought their own people and paid them a lot less money. So what was this all about? How wonderful is Rick Scott? As far as UNESCO, that is a 100% communist organization. And it had, I remember, in 93, 2, somewhere in that vicinity. UNESCO signed a contract with Microsoft that Bill Gates will create Common Core worldwide, Common Core, and will be in charge of all of the software. So from that moment on until 2010, when Obama forced it upon the states, you can see how they lied, because the curricula is supposed to be state-dominated, state-chosen, state-run, but Obama pushed Common Core on the entire country, and the goal of Common Core was to dumb down Americans so that they would be the same as the rest of the world. And this is exactly where we are today.
So when you talk about UNESCO, it's widespread. The United Nations and the UNESCO garbage, the treaty, the Heritage Treaty, whatever it was called, that it's widespread in many ways, but literally, they literally took ownership of historic landmarks in the United States of America. How in the world?
Oh, that was a treaty, not a treaty, that was an agreement, I guess. And it was called the National Heritage. And all 10 of our parks, including the Everglades, including Yellowstone, including the Grand Canyon, there was 10 of them. I don't think Mount Rushmore. I think that was the only one that wasn't, but don't quote me on that one. Anyway, we gave them to the United Nations to manage. And the goal of these lunatics is to connect all of these parks through a wild land reserve so that the animals can run free and the people will be in prison.
Which takes us to what happened with the Bundys and all that mess in there, too. It's absolutely despicable of what they have done and how we have been so, so clueless of most of us, most people. I mean, if you're seriously, this is for anybody on this call right now, if you go out there on the street and talk to people and say UNESCO, how many of them have any clue what that is? They would have heard of the United Nations, but they wouldn't know what UNESCO is. And would they have any clue that our country sold us off to the UN? Go ahead.
Okay. UNESCO is the United Nations Education, Science. I don't have it in front of me. There's another one. Billionaire Culture Organization. UNESCO.
Yeah.
Right.
They're transformation of the New World Order, basically.
Exactly. And their goal was to bring the New World Order through Common Core into every country in the world. And specifically to make sure that the United States, I even have a quote from one of these lunatics where they said that we cannot have any other country be like the United States. We have to cut the United States off, and we cannot allow that to happen. Could you believe that? Yes, you can. It's just disgusting because they told us. That's my point. They have been telling us what they intend to do, and we don't listen. And when we say, this is what they're going to do, they say, oh, you're wearing a tinfoil hat, boy, you're stupid.
Yeah, and because they put a spin on it, too. They put a political spin on it, and they said, this is going to be so wonderful. This is going to make us such a wonderful world. It's all going to be a wonderful world to live in. Just like, I mean, how many people thought anything of when George H.W. Bush, after the war thing, the whatever it was, I'm trying to remember, when he was doing the State of the Union, he says, we are upon a new world order, we're approaching a new world order, whatever. How many people ever thought anything of what he said there? It just sounded, oh, a new world order. And it made it sound like, well, we're going to be safe, that people realize we're believing freedom and whatever else. We weren't thinking he meant that, oh, you mean we're going to all be under one government called the United Nations. Oh, we didn't understand. You said you were going to sell off our country to all these foreign entities. I mean, when you think about it, I don't know the number. Maybe you or Cindy know. Right now, as of today, what percentage of the United States of America real estate, real property, which was a very big thing of freedom? If you don't have real property, you don't have freedom, is actually owned by the American people. What percentage is truly owned by Americans?
3%. If
How
we
much?
Took all the people, 3%. We are 3%. Living on 3% of America's land mass. All the people in America, all 350 million, well now probably 400 million, we are living on 3% of the land. If we took all the people in the world and brought them to the United States and gave them each a quarter of an acre in the United States, each family a quarter of an acre, we would not even fill the United States. That's
yeah, but I'm thinking when it comes to, because even with Americans, how many Americans live, how many of them live in apartments that they don't own, how many of these apartments are foreign-owned, we know BlackRock and company, they're out there trying to buy up real estate like crazy because they want to convert everything over. They're pushing people out of the personal home. The American dream of personal home ownership is being totally taken away from us in many ways, in the different directions. And you know, if someone lives in an apartment, they may be on American soil, but that doesn't mean they own it. They definitely don't. But does an American own that land? How much of the real estate is truly owned by Americans individually, and what percent of the real estate is even owned by the government? Which, of course, they shouldn't be owning much of any of it. That's a whole other topic for us, versus how much of the real estate is truly owned by foreign entities who have totally taken over this country, and most people are just totally clueless to it. So, like I said, do we really have a country? Is it really real?
Yeah, well, I would have to go and look up my map on that one. But I did want to just read something to you that was exactly what you were talking about. Now, this is one of the designers of Agenda 21. His name was Maurice Strong. Maurice Strong was an oil billionaire. That's how he made his money. He didn't want competition. So this is what he said. Current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class. Think about that. Involving high meat intake, use of fossil fuels, appliances, air conditioning, and suburban housing are not sustainable. This was in 1991 when he said this, and everybody went, ha, 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 ha. Well, guess where we are today? Isn't that a surprise? Now, this is what these people think. The three main goals would be to reduce human population to about 100 million people. Oh, this one is even less. 100 million people worldwide, to destroy the industrial infrastructure, but to see wilderness with its full complement of species returning throughout the world. And this was David Foreman, a real moron, and he was the co-founder of Earth First. Guess where Earth First gets most of its funding? From the people. So not only do they want to kill us, but we are so wonderful that we are giving them money to do it. The things that they say about humans, and these are the people that wrote these plans. Mankind is the most dangerous, destructive, selfish, and unethical animal on earth. He was the president of the Humane Society, Michael Fox. Human beings as a species have no more value than slugs. She was the editor of Earth first. Oh, he, John Dave, who knows today, but it was a huge. The Earth has a cancer, and man is the cancer. This was from the Club of Rome. So they don't like us from a long time ago. This is nothing new. We just never paid attention.
That's the problem. Yeah. And how they have literally done it by selling out America out from under us. And these were Americans doing this to us. People have to understand, it's Americans who did this. And George H.W. Bush, how many people would ever have imagined, and I was truly ignorant to this executive order until Nathan mentioned it. And so I got Nathan out there, so I got to see if he's ready to chat on this. To truly realize he truly put everything on the chopping block. I mean, I had known about the privatization of the highways, the infrastructure, and, of course, they were always acting like they were doing it because they couldn't afford it, yet they kept increasing the gas tax. They kept increasing the other areas, the toll roads. They kept increasing all property taxes, all these things they kept increasing while they were selling it off. And the other question that I have out there, too, it's like, well, wait a minute. You sold off half of America. Where is all the money you got for selling this? Where did that go? Why are we so broke when you sold everything off? I mean, the rate of return on this, the return on investment, hasn't been too good because you kept spending like nothing, yet they were getting all this money in from selling out our assets and our infrastructure and our country, selling our country out from under us, and yet we're still broke. People have to truly appreciate how this is the enemies from within. They are killing us from within. And we're going to have, at some point, we're going to have a show on those secret societies. We're going to talk about the Bush Clan because they are one of the most evil. And people just don't, they don't appreciate the evilness of what these people are doing. How, while they're sitting fat and happy on their oil and whatever else and their mansions and everything else across this country, good old George Soros out there too somewhere, while they're destroying us. And it's like we're sitting here watching them destroy us. It's just amazing, and we're sitting here basically helpless to defend ourselves. And so, let me go ahead and
As long as we continue to do that, as long as we continue to pay people that hate us to kill us, then they will continue to kill us. As soon as we stop, and we have seen that over and over again. How many times have we said, "Sally, boycotts work"? And they do. Look at what's going on. We can put Bed Bath & Beyond out of business. We're putting Budweiser out of business. Good. You know, the people, and I'm terribly sorry about the people who were working in the government when you closed government offices. They didn't care about us when they closed our businesses. So too bad. And besides, they'll get paid anyway. So it is definitely time to get rid of these government agencies. It is time for us to stop paying the NGOs and to monitor where our money goes. Wouldn't that be different? That would be really exciting. Oh, this was the last one that I just wanted to share, and then I will close my mouth. This was from David Browner. And he was the first executive director of the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club gets a lot of money from them. Childbearing should be a punishable crime against society unless the parents hold a government license. All potential parents should be required to use contraceptive chemicals, the government issuing antidotes to citizens chosen for childbearing. Folks, are we going to go? And I think I'll contribute to Sierra Club.
Who made the joke about the Democrats? When the Democrats promote the abortion, say, yeah, maybe we should let the – might have been Glenn Beck. I can't remember. Either him or Wayne Allen or whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, the joke about the ones that should have the abortions are the Democrats.
Yes. Someone – a telemarketer called and asked, if he would give his opinion on abortion. And he said, absolutely, I think every Democrat should have one. The woman said, I don't know how to write that down. He said, well, maybe you should get your supervisor. And then they hung up.
Okay. Well, hold on, because like I say, I know we're going to run a little bit over tonight, and there's so much on this topic to talk about. And I just really want people to think about, we don't even have a country anymore right now. They have literally sold it out. And I'm going to go to Nathan next, because Nathan's been out there waiting for a while. And Joe, I am going to get there, because I want you to talk about that U.S. corporation, because I know you really, you understand that one inside and out, and what this, how this has played into all this part. And when these people go to Washington, who are they really working for? They're working for the corporation. But anyway, so please hold on. And with that being said, Nathan. Nathan is the executive order man on this. He's the one who really pounded into my head what was going on with this executive order. Nathan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing so good. If I get any better, I'm going to be twins. I don't know if that'll be good for y'all, but I'll have a friend. Listen, you were saying, you know about the, it's 90 degrees, but it feels like it's 105. They're doing that the same way. I went in today to a 7-Eleven. I bought something, and the lady said, "Do you want your change?" And I said, "Yeah." It was only 30 cents. If I would have paid with my card, it would have asked the question, do I want to round it up to the next dollar? Why am I going to give this corporation my change? You know, but you know what? There's a lot of people like, yeah, it would just be too easy to know, you know, round it off. The reason they're doing this is on these 15-minute cities, if you ever look at, we got it happening in Islam in America, in several cities and in the Northwest Desert Company country. The way they rule in communists and in Islam is they rule down at the bottom. You know, if you do something you're not supposed to do, it's in your community. It's somebody among you is going to run tell the guy that's over us, and then they're going to come and have a talk with you about it. I know this personally because I've been in a couple communist countries. When I was in 84 and 85, I went to Germany to go to Bible college. And afterwards, I went for 6 months in Neuhaus, Austria, to live with a pastor and do practical stuff, you know, mowing the grass, that kind of stuff. And he was – Neuhaus, Austria, they changed it, but it was 4 kilometers from the Yugoslavian and the Hungarian border. I got to go into Hungary because they did deals where they would go over with a Bible and go shopping. They wanted you to come into their country because they wanted your money, and you could go over there and do shopping. And whenever you came back, you left, you didn't have your Bible with you. And I couldn't do that because, one, they know I don't know their language. So just to test it out, I had my Bible with me. And when they seen my Bible, you know, they said, okay, no problem. It was English, no big deal. But when I went into Yugoslavia, I got caught off, went in this room, and they literally stripped me down, literally went through my bag, my backpack, and everything. This ain't going to work here because I was a foreigner. They did the same thing when I went into East Germany. This is done at the local level. It's usually some patriotic type father. We got a couple cities in Michigan and a couple. I don't follow it real close, but they rule at the local city, and that's why in China, when you watch in China and North Korea, you see citizens. You look at America. Go downtown Orlando and look at the citizens walking. You'll see this guy standing up straight, walking. You'll see this other guy walks with his shoulders slung over. You know, in those countries, they walk like military-trained soldiers, and they're just regular citizens. They are ruled at a local level, and that's what all this stuff is about. But I just wanted to get that off my chest. I spoke with our Orange County Aaron Huntley, the Orange County Supervisor Chairman, and was mm-hmm. trying to tell her about some of the Republican policies, like, you know, Daddy Bush's executive order and a bunch of other things. And she just got really excited about that's why we have to vote the right people in at the local level. I just, man, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. It almost reminded me of, at the local level, what I was just telling you about. 90% feels like. So if it feels like it, there's no absolutes. And if there's no absolutes, then I'm not really hitting the target. And then all of a sudden, I think that that's going to produce a mind that's easily commanded, you know? And that's where that 15-minute cities are going to be coming in. I had something else while y'all were talking that came to my mind. We always got to beat up the Democrats because they're the really bad ones, but there's a thing called the Hegelian dialectic. You ever get a chance, look it up. What it is you create a problem, and then you create the solution. You create the solution, and you create the problem. The problem and then the solution, and it moves us over to another reality. I'll give you a good one on this. Nixon was in, he negotiated us buying Japanese cars. Now, in the 70s, it's late 60s, 70s, we had station wagons, full-size pickup trucks, GTOs, Cadillacs and Lincoln Continentals. It was all big cars, 70, 75 on the highway. There's no way we're going to buy these. My dad used to call them a converted beer can. If you scratch the paint off the door, to say Schlitz, right? He said, no way America's going to buy those things. Well, guess what? After he comes in, Jimmy Carter comes in, and he has his Middle East crisis with the oil, and the price went crazy at the pump. And guess what? We started trading in them Cougars and Mustangs and all that stuff in on them little converted beer cans. So that was, you see how the two parties, well, this is a Democrat and Republican, they work together to move us to where they want us. But we're sitting here fussing about the Democrats, you know? They're working together. That's pretty much what I got on my mind. That's my therapy. But, that was a crazy deal.
Well, I got a question for you. It's like I know you've lived in Florida for a long time. I can't remember exactly how long, but
77, January 77.
77. Well, since that time, have you ever noticed it to get hot in July? Are you seeing any records there? I haven't seen any records actually mentioned. Maybe there's been some records someplace in Florida, and I haven't seen them posted. It's obviously hot and miserable out. It's a hot summer. But I haven't, are you used to the heat in the summer, or is this something new?
Here's what I've always done, and I did this without being educated. If you get thirsty, you need something to drink. You know, you just automatic. No one has to give you a lecture and explain this to you. And I've always worked outside. So when you get thirsty, and I also learned if you get thirsty and you drink a bunch of Cokes, that really doesn't quench your not your thirst, but you're cooling your body down. You drink straight water. When I was in the Army, I had it figured out. The way my dad used to tell me, and it was the same principle, my dad told me when you got a leak in your radiator, you can keep putting water in it, but just keep people putting water in it and stop and keep putting water in it. But if it ever runs out, if it overruns out, it's going to overheat and you're stranded. And that was what I learned happens when I was in the Army. You know, keep your pee clear. That means you're good. If it's yellow, that means you need water. If it's brown, you're dehydrated. And you're going to get they're going to evacuate you. You're going to get an IV. So that was the same principle there. So, you know, I just keep my pee clear. And that doesn't stop me from being hot, but, I can bear it. And I remember, you know, in the heat in a home that didn't have air conditioning, we had fans just all over the place. But it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. One more thing I thought about, she mentioned, the earlier caller mentioned iVoters. I got an experience with iVoters. The guy that's over that, Dave Zanotti, he teaches. They say that they're independents. They're free agents, the way he says it. But he doesn't stand by the Democrats. He stands by the Republicans. And over the years, I've pointed out stuff to him, and he's ignored it. And in 2012, I got into it with him on the Electoral College not being in the Constitution, and open primaries is a lot of that. And I guess other people were hitting it too, because I heard him on his radio show. He's got a two-minute show where he comes on to basically get people to come to his site. And he was saying a lot of people have been asking, saying that there isn't an Electoral College in the Constitution. And he said this guy on his staff, Rob, took a picture of it in the Constitution and posted it, and go to the site and look at it. I went and I read it. Didn't say anything about Electoral College, nothing, nowhere near it. So what I did is I called the office, and I said, listen, I can make the case that there's no Electoral College and open primaries is the law of the land. All I need is just not even a minute, right? And he says, the lady called me back and said, this guy Rob, the guy that posted it, will give me 15 minutes on the phone to make my case. You know, I said, okay. And just whenever I called him on a Monday morning, first thing he says, and I'm only giving you 15 minutes. I said, sir, I won't need that much, and I want you to correct me if you see I'm wrong, right? And I started reading the Constitution, the 24th, when I got done. I pointed out open primaries is the law of the land, and the citizens get to vote for the vice president and the electors. And he just says, no, I'm not going to waste my time on this. And he just hung up. I wasn't even a whole minute.
Yep.
You know, and I sent him one of my favorite little things. I said, get a copy of the preamble, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Amendments. Take your finger and touch every word in all those documents. And when you see the word electoral in college, take a picture of it, put it online, and that'll settle it forever, you know, and never heard nothing from them. So I'm not real impressed with that iVoter stuff. They're really – back when Phil Graham from Texas was in Congress, and Phil Graham, he told the story of he was helping him with his campaign, and he told him, you need to remind the people that, you know, pro-life, it's your pro-life, and, you know, well, what you're going to do. He goes, no, I'm not going to be getting into that. He goes, well, there's a lot of them out there, a lot of Christians that will vote for you. He goes, where else are they going to go? When I heard him talking about that, I contacted him by email, and I asked him, I said, why didn't you go to get on the TV or get on the radio and start yelling, y'all don't need to vote for this guy? You stood by and watched that. So I have no heart for AP Roundtable or Dave Zanotti or any of them. You know, they're a part of the Republicans, but they say they're independents. They're not. You know.
That was
my therapy.
Well, thank you. Feel free to hold on for a few more minutes in case you need a little bit more therapy there. But what does it take? What is it going to take, or how do we get the word out there to others, promoting the fact that everybody has the right to vote in the presidential primaries? How do we get that message out there if, you know, when those of us aren't as rich as Soros and company and these others who are doing everything else?
I think you got to just keep beating the drum. Just keep beating it, saying it over and over and over, because here's what I've learned. A lot of things in my life, I look back where me and you can get in a disagreement, and years later I'll look back and go, you know, she was right. It takes a long time to reach the heart. It takes, but you got to get the mind first, and you keep saying it over and over and over. Now, I'm not saying just don't be like a crazy person, but just when the subject comes up, be sure to point it out. My big thing is can you correct me? Can you correct me? And you you sit me down and walk me through it, and then that way, if I'm in error, I don't keep making a fool of myself. You know, and they don't do it. But here's the thing I've noticed, And this, we see this happening from, like somebody mentioned earlier about a 99-year lease. What do you think the people 99 years from now is going to be thinking about this country that has this land here? Are they going to say, no, they rented it or they own it? No. These people, they're going to be in another world in their mind, and they're not going to be bringing up something from the past. And this is why it is easy. It ain't easy, but it's easier for me to convince you you're being deceived. But it's really, really hard after you've been taught this. It's really, really almost impossible for me to convince you you've been deceived, because it's in your soul. It's who you are. You know, it's like a Baptist and an atheist trying to disagree. If that's their roots, they come up. They hear something and they've already are thinking no in their mind, rather than really sitting down and looking at this thing, as they say, like in the mirror, and looking and peering and really thinking hard. You might walk away going, wow, man, I was wrong. I was taught wrong. Or part of it was right, but the key to getting us is the terminology, that changing the definitions of words is where they get the next generation, you know? And that's how they're patient. These people are patient. And I'm going to tell you this, again, I'm getting my therapy on this. One of my biggest stinks with where we're at has always been the church. The church got great values. You look at the people that live by it, their lives prosper and they do well. They stand up better than their peers. But whenever this stuff hits the culture, when divorce hit in the 70s, it was hard for a woman, because back then it was more children, 4, 5, 6 kids go back to church because she's hurting with these kids sitting on the back row, and nobody's making her feel welcome. They're kind of ignoring her, and then the preachers didn't have counseling skills, and his mother sitting there just talking and repeating herself over and over and over, and he's like, all he wants to do is give her a Bible verse and command her to go do it. And she's just, and most of those women never, not most, but a good part of them, lived with a depression the rest of their life that they never got over. There was they were heartbroken. And the church didn't know how to respond, and I give credit, because it's always been an individual or a group of individuals that's in the group but not in management, if you want to say it that way. They broke off and did something and created like a parachurch ministry off on the side. But then a lot of that's become big business. You know, it's just making money, writing books, doing seminars, and it's growing too. But I give them credit, because there was a lot of hurting people back then even the women's live movement of the 60s, you got the commercial with this woman hiding with a Virginia Slim, you know, you've come a long way, baby. You know, we've seen that as the women's lib movement, but it actually started at the turn of the 1800s, because you have these 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, and somebody over here is doing something, and you send one of your kids over there to help them do it, and they make money, and you get the money. And there was a lot of young women exploited in that. And if you ever want to look up Lowell, Massachusetts, and see the plants that people, these founders, the religion that founded America, sent their kids off to these cities to work in a mill, and there was women getting, young girls getting exploited, and it was because, I hate to say this, but some of these good Christian families treated women along the same line as a Muslim would treat their wives, their women. Yeah. They had a place, so the first women's rally for their rights as women happened 7 years after the Civil War, and there was a lady that ran for president during that time. Victoria Woodhull, her vice president was what was the guy? He was a freed slave. I don't remember his name. It'll come to me one day, probably way too late. But you know, he was a part of this women's lib movement, not women's lib, but women's rights. He was a part of this rally because he understood, you know, what freedom is and getting it. You know, so he supported him, and she picked him for his running mate. Anybody just type in Victoria Woodall. And you can learn about it. And that's where we always hear this, the women's lib of the 60s. You know, no. That was the spinoff from back then, you know. But again, the next generation doesn't see what the last generation was experiencing. We just got the new paradigm. And that's what we see happening with the changing of definitions, you know. We're going to have a good old time. That means we're going to have fun. That means we're going to have fun. You know, not we're going to go do something with something, you know. Okay. It just dumps our minds down. So,
yeah. Okay,
anyway.
It's all pretty scary. Next week is when I'm going to have the focus on. I'm calling it the Silent Revolution. Some might, you know, want to try to kind of compare it to the Cold War kind of thing, where the whole point is what we have to do to rebuild internally and take back a lot of this. But we have to focus on that election, too. We have to do what we can to get the election. But we have to reject that insanity. We have to reject that it's something weird that it gets hot in July. We cannot accept
that.
Well, we
got to reach people.
We have to push back.
Well, but we got to reach people's minds. You know why your earlier co-host was on and she mentioned iVoters. I went there and looked at it. He's supposed to be an independent, okay? And he has nothing independent on there. He shows only Republican Democrats and where they stand right now for the 2024. You know, let's be consistent, man. Be consistent. Just say, look, you know, right now the Republicans are outnumbered by large numbers in most counties across America. I mean, large numbers, up close to six figures in some areas. And what is it that we can't look at that and say, what is the people saying? But they keep us in. They don't let us get out of this Republican-Democrat mindset. And then all these people at the last minute are going to be, you know, well, if you're an independent and you sit this election out, and if this Democrat gets, elected, that's on you. No, you don't own my vote. And you don't own what party I'm supposed to be of, if any party, you know. They're keeping us in the mind of Republican and Democrat, and I could pick one of them if they were who they say they are, and neither one of them are. Well, the Democrats are, but the Republicans are more liberal than the Democrats, but they run on what does it take to reach the conservative right's heart, you know?
Right.
And I'm gonna say this. I know this sounds extreme, but that is just flat-out evil. That's not trying to sell something. That is flat out evil.
Right.
Say something that is not true, and then keep promoting it. You know, we've been having
evil.
With this 12803. If you read Article 6, the second paragraph, okay, Daddy Bush should have been handcuffed, tried, and then faced a firing squad for what he did.
Yep, it definitely. And
he
I'm
did what
on that article.
He bypassed all the Congress and senators, all the congressmen and senators. He bypassed the citizens, and he completely canceled the sovereignty and the economy of the United States, federal U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, and they had no authorization to do it. That's not their power. But this is where this overlap or this gap of when you talk about the U.S. corporation thing, that was the corporation that was strictly for the District of Columbia and I think the acquired territories. It wasn't really supposed to go to everybody else. And we have these people we don't have a president anymore. We have a dictator. And I would have to go back. When did we last have a president? I'm not sure when we last had a president versus a dictator.
Somebody got the job and they weren't voted in. Somebody got, but you know, on that thing with the Civil War, one of the things England, we won the war against England, but here's what they did. They sent over a party, a political party. Why would another country send a political party over here? But they got the Whig Party, and the Whig Party, they're getting us back. They're getting us back through politics,
yeah.
Right? And then
yeah.
When Lincoln won, the Whig Party, again, following the people, the Whig Party disbanded and joined the Republican Party, and we've never known the Republican Party of Lincoln, you know, that they hijacked it. But what they did is they got back in a business deal what they lost in a war.
Oh, yeah, they did. That's exactly it. That's what it really all came down to. And then if you watch, anybody watch that YouTube video that I have out there on the page and listen to how he's explaining how it evolved over the time and what the people were rejecting when it came to what Lincoln was doing and how it just how it all came about, how they came up with this district. He'll form a district, and it'll be a corporation and the district, and that's how we'll take it from there. You have to kind of listen to it. And what everything that I heard when I was listening to this YouTube was consistent with what I've known over the years of what really happened. And I mean, yeah, after the Civil War, we were financially depressed. There was all sorts of problems on that kind of stuff. And this was trying to save the Union, supposedly. But what was? But then you get these other evildoers that have come. Well, so wait a minute. We declared independence from these people. Now you're mortgaging the house to them, and which is really what it did. It sold off that. And then the role that we've allowed the District of Columbia, D.C., to play in controlling and taking over the states. Yeah.
Sally, don't forget to remind the callers that want to stay with the show to dial in, because I just looked over here. We're getting close.
Yep. That's absolutely correct.
I'll shut up when they get
on
the phone. Yeah. I'll shut up when they get on the phone, because I know I kind of...
Okay, well,
my dad
reminder
used to tell
to everybody,
me I talk more than a woman.
So it's about 10 till 9. At 9 o'clock, you will not be able to hear the discussion on the Internet. You can still hear it if you call in, and of course, you can join the chat as well. So if you want to continue listening after 9, 10 minutes, make sure you dial in to hear it. Now, this was an article out there. Some of you maybe remember... Arnie Rosner, who was out there, Scanned Retina was his group. I know he passed away a few years ago, but he used to come on the show, and he would do a – and if you go back through the American Statesman shows in the past, you'll see different shows on the U.S. Corporation, the 1871 thing, and they went through it in so much detail. It was also very good to learn and understand what it truly is. I understand it, but I don't know that I'm not – prepared in the sense to do a class on it. I understand what it all truly sold out, mortgaged the homeland. We've been sold out, and this District of Columbia has changed everything of how they want to manage and own and control the country and what they're really allowed to do. That's why, as Cindy was saying earlier, they say the taxes are illegal and stuff like that. And it's true. If we truly understood our history, understood what they've done over time, we would realize that they've destroyed the country, but it's all been illegal. And Jefferson was one to say, if it's unconstitutional, it's null and void. Well, it might be null and void, but that doesn't allow us to do much to, you know, you can go out there and try to stop paying those taxes, but just realize you're going to be raked over the coals. Even though you're right, they're not going to surrender that way. What they're doing is wrong, but that doesn't really matter. They don't care. Anyway, there's this article, and again, I got the link out there on the show page, Who Owns America? And this was someone related or dealing with the Scanned Retina group at the time. And I'm just going to read just a little bit off of here. Somehow we have all been conditioned to believe that once was shall always be. We believe that we are free people, guaranteed our God-given rights declared in the Constitution. We believe that when we vote, we are electing representatives of we the people, whom once elected shall become public servants. We believe that the house in which we live and the land in which we settle is our land, free and clear of our government's tentacles. And we believe that the laws for which we allow ourselves to be governed by the come of a legitimate law-making body with checks and balances and constitutional oversights. But what if all of the above perceptions are in fact false? And that is what the reality is. The United States doesn't even exist at all. Then it goes into the corporation. And then in this particular thing they're talking about doesn't even exist at all. And then it goes, what indeed, according to Executive Order 12803, signed by George H.W. Bush in 1992, the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., neither a state nor a part of the United States, was given the authority to privatize all, most or all of the infrastructure within the United States. This means the federal government or the corporation that acts in lieu of a federal government can sell any city's assets which are built with taxpayer monies, including roads, tunnels, bridges, electricity, supply facilities, mass transit, rail transportation, airports, ports, waterways, recycle waste treatment facilities, solid waste disposal facilities, hospitals, prisons, schools, housing. Executive Order 12803 lists all the above as examples of America's sellable and or leasable infrastructure. But this is not to be taken as a complete list, as these are just some examples. So think
they
about
can
that.
Buy the, what does, they yeah. can buy the Pentagon. Some other country can buy the Pentagon. They can buy the road that you drive down on, and you think, man, my great-grandfather built this road after the war. And you know what? It's something that all of us, whether it's tolls or the money it takes to maintain or tax, it all goes back to that company, that country. You know, and you know, they literally have been able to rule the world without even an army. They've got an army in case they need it, but they really can take over territory and never raise a gun. Just all
exactly.
It takes is to be patient in the next generation. And, you know, and I don't understand. I said something about Ted Kennedy after he passed away. And I was thinking the other day, somebody got really rude with me on it, and I think I could say the same thing about George H. Bush. On the first anniversary, I was listening to a show, and the guy pointed out that this is the first anniversary of Ted Kennedy passing away. I called in, and I told the guy, he really got mad at me. I said, listen. My mama told me don't ever say anything about anybody that's dead unless it's good. He's dead good. He gave his whole entire life to socialize in America. And I can say that about George W. I can say that. Yeah. He gave his whole entire life to giving the country that he made an oath to. Right there, he's a liar.
Yeah.
I mean, we made an oath and don't understand what it says. But he was educated more than the average man. He knows he's read it, and he didn't read through it and miss it, but he knows it, and he still did that.
Yeah. Well, let me mention now, this goes into some of the other conversations we've had in the past when there have been different shows, and I don't know if Joe is still listening, but the shows where we talk about restoring the republic, where we're looking for people to assume these roles because, truthfully, I mean, and this is, again, this is, based on everything I've seen over the years, and this is one I'm going to read right off of here, there are two United States, okay? And that's why right now we think it's all this D.C. stuff, but there's really the other United States that doesn't really have a president because the District of Columbia is a corporation. There are two United States, one formed in 1787, the collection of the several sovereign states of the Union, and another separate and different one formed in 1871. Which only controls the District of Columbia and its territories. Others may can give you a specific reference and explain further. Here is an outline of the concept. So I'm going to read just a little bit of this. But understand, and this is why when others were saying that we could go out there and we need representatives, we need congressional representatives and senators, and we need a president because the District of Columbia is the corporation. That's not the rest of the country. And so this is where it goes into it now. This is the date is February 2nd, 1871, and the 41st Congress is in session. I refer you to the Acts of the 41st Congress, Section 34, Session 3, Chapter 61 and 62. On this date in the history of our nation, Congress passed an act titled An Act to Provide a Government for the District of Columbia. This is also known as the Act of 1871. What does this mean? Well, it means that Congress, under no constitutional authority to do so, created a separate form of government for the District of Columbia, which is a 10-mile square parcel of land. So this is what has happened, and this is why we've had other shows and talked about we need to be forming this other, the parallel government, because what we have right now is strictly the corporation. And if we, again, how do you get this information out to enough people? How do you explain to people what has happened over time and how? This is where, you know, if everybody just refused to pay the taxes all at once, it sounds like it's so easy to do,
well,
but I know it's just not that easy to make that happen.
It wouldn't happen,
yeah,
because I called my boss up and said, tell the payroll clerk, don't take any taxes out. He's going to laugh at me because he's not going to get in trouble being a part of that. So, you know, most of us, someone else deducts our taxes. So we have no choice of saying, I'm not going to pay my taxes, you know?
Yes, you do. Yeah, sure.
Hello?
Jump in.
Oh,
hello.
I think I was on mute. You do have recourse. All you have to do is claim. I claim 12 deductions, so I don't pay taxes. And then
you got a legal law there that allows you to do that.
Yeah, you can claim as many deductions as you want. You're supposed to level it out and, you know, pay later on. But for the most part, I've been claiming 9, 10, 11 deductions for a very long time. And then I deduct other things. So by the time I'm done, I'm not paying taxes.
Yeah, but what if one day somebody looks back and says she beat the taxes? We're going to be driving down the road seeing you on the side of the road with a hammer breaking rocks.
You know what? I don't care.
You don't care. Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, but
the whole thing, when I was teaching, and this was in the very, very early 70s, and everybody was fed up, and one of the guys came, he said, you know, if we claimed all these deductions, then it's legal, and then you just find things, you know, claim, I have an office in my house, I claim that, you know, other things that are allowable to claim by the time you're done, you will pay hardly anything. Now, I don't know what the new rules are, but that is the way it usually works out. I wind up paying a fraction of what would be normal if I just allowed the W-2 to be, you know, 0 or 1 or 2. So.
Yeah.
What do they say? There's always a way to find to get around something.
Yeah, well, but I know if I called my boss up and say, look, I don't believe in paying taxes, just write me out a check for the gross, and, you know, he's going to say no. Not
well,
unless I could get a lawyer or something to process an agreement, you know.
Well, that they have to do because there's a law that says that they can't do that anymore. And that was in the 50s, when they changed that and started taking out deductions for taxes, that was when they started raising the taxes. Because if you have to write a check to the federal government to pay your taxes, instead of them deducting, then people don't do it because they really see how much money they're losing. Whereas if that's already deduction, nobody looks at it and, oh, this is my net amount, and that's all they pay attention to, instead of what's really going on that's coming out of your check.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard people say we're the least taxed country in the world, and I disagree with that because whenever you get your check, your paycheck, it's already got taxes deducted. You stop by the service station and you get some gas, and there's a tax on that goes supposed to be going towards the roads. But then whenever they need to fix or repair the roads, they go out and start saying, we need to fix the roads, we need to raise your taxes. you know, so it's like, what about that stuff at the gas tank? And now, you know, it used to be, a lot of people don't know this, but there's an alcohol tax, right? Whenever you... buy gas, when you buy gas and there's ethanol in it, there's an alcohol tax added in the price. And nobody thinks about that.
Right.
You know, so we're getting... I think ethanol ain't no good.
Yeah, hold on before we get into the ethanol stuff. Going back to the corporation here. Read some information. The act passed when the country was weakened and financially depleted after the aftermath of Civil War was a strategic move by foreign interest international bankers who were intent upon gaining stranglehold over the coffers in the neck of America. Congress cut a deal with the international bankers, specifically the Rothschilds of London, to incur debt to said bankers because the bankers were not about to lend money to a floundering nation without serious stipulation. They devised a way to get their foot in the door of the United States. The Act of 1871 formed a corporation called the United States. The corporation owned by foreign interest moved in and shoved the original Constitution into the dustpan. With the Act of 1871, the original Constitution for the United States, 1788, was defaced and in effect vandalized and sabotaged when the title was capitalized with the word "for," and the word "for" was changed to "of." Instead of the Constitution for the United States, it was changed to the Constitution of the United States. Constitution of the Incorporated United States of America. The capitalization is significant when one referring to legal document. The seemingly minor alteration has had a major impact on every subsequent generation of Americans. Now, this is only a small section of what, because there's a lawsuit that's that they're explaining through here, too. So, again, this is one of the links I put on the page. But understand, there is this corporation out there, and the proof is when you see everything in all caps. So that's the corporation.
Aaron, can you explain the difference? Because I just heard that and I never paid attention to it. Can you explain the difference between of and for?
Well, if I am writing a constitution for you, it's different than writing one of you.
So of means I got
old. Okay. I'm performing an act. And the act that I'm performing is for you.
Okay.
For you to use whatever. If I'm performing an act of you, then I'm emulating you.
So I'm a part
and
of
you're freer if it's of you, of the state.
Of is like property; it belongs to you. Of versus you.
It belongs to your person. If I'm doing it for you, it's my attitude for you.
Yeah. And I think Joe has rejoined us here. Let's see if we can get Joe on here real quick.
Ready?
How's
it going?
Okay. Hey, Joe.
Doing all right. How's everybody going here tonight? Hopefully well. You're talking about the most important subject to fix this country right now, and which is really the only subject to fix it other than the Federal Reserve banking cartel. And you can't fix that without fixing your country because you don't have a country right now. And so you pretty much summed it up pretty well. But everybody's dancing around the real problem that we have and how to fix it with solutions. All the other problems are distractions, and they may seem important to you, and they probably are. Some issues are important to people. But really, if we're going to be Americans and we're going to fix our republic, we all have to come to the common place and common ground of we have to restore our republic, the lawful de jure government, before we can fix anything, because everything else will not matter. It won't matter. It doesn't matter because we don't, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves. If we're living a lie and living in a corporation, a corporate lie, then who cares about voting? Who cares about the voting machines? Who cares about taxes for picking up garbage? But none of that matters because we have to get to the roots of the problem. We have to focus like a laser beam on that one particular problem. And when we can do that, then everything else, guess what, will fall into place as time goes on.
And that's what, I don't know if you were hearing it or listening at the beginning of the show when I was talking about next week we talk about the silent, I'm calling it a silent revolution, just for the because I don't want it to sound like it's not trying to get everybody out in the streets with the arms and trying to start a war kind of thing. It's how we take it back by rejecting what they're doing today. We have to reject the District of Columbia. We have to reject the U.S. corporation. Now, I'm saying that like it's some easy thing to do. But that's ultimately what we have to do. We have to go. This is kind of like your show in the past when they were talking about getting people engaged. Would you want to be a senator or whatever? Trying to fill those roles basically of the United States versus the corporation. And go ahead and elaborate on that. But explain.
Yeah.
I think
well,
you explain
what happened was. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, what happens? What happened was when the Civil War, when they abandoned their seats, Congress, when they walked out, then we went to Civil War. Those seats have to be refilled. They were abandoned. So therefore, the Republic has been there all this time. And what has happened was back in 2010, some people studied for many, many years, and they got just small groups of people together, and they started formulating these grand juries, de jure grand juries across the country in all 50 states, actually, and they served all 50 governors to put them on notice that they must vacate their seats, their corporate seats, and they'll be removed from office. When they failed to answer, that means they – what happens when you fail to answer? You're not acknowledging or you're denying the problem. So therefore, the seats then became reopened. And it takes a long time to explain it lawfully, what I'm talking about right there, but it's common sense. If most people, if they use common sense, they can figure out what I'm saying. But – those seats now then started to become filled because people across the country started holding elections in states, in their states, believe it or not. But it fell apart, like most movements, because the Obama administration attacked and singled out a lot of the leaders of the Republic. And then, of course, the media got involved. And, of course, what we do the same thing. We're guilty of it. We start talking on the Internet, and people start making up stories. And before you know it, the truth gets lost. You know, so it fell apart. But that's the only lawful way to reconvene the de jure government, and that's by refilling the seats. And to hold honest elections, we'd have to have 30,000 people in each state to do that. And by way of the Northwest Ordinance, and if anybody knows the Northwest Ordinance and looks it up, it's part of our history, that's the only constitutional way of getting back our organic breathing document called our Constitution. Right now we have the corporate Constitution. So, which applies to, like you were saying earlier, the District of Columbia. If Walmart does something and they want to change aisle 9 to aisle 10, right, does it really affect you? No, unless you go shopping there. Well, that's kind of like the corporation. What it does, it really doesn't affect you unless you engage it, right? So if we disengage from this corporation and break our contracts, see, that's how they do it. They get it. We're into all these contracts with these people, you know? And we have to break away these contracts. Well, you know, when you sign a driver's license document, you sign a contract. That's why they make you sign your driver's license. Because you sign it. You agree to the terms and conditions. So, therefore, you have to pay those tickets lawfully. So, you know, and they got you. And many other contracts. Your birth certificate is a contract, technically. A Social Security contract. They got us all wrapped up in these adhesive contracts. So what can we do? You know, it screws everything up. Nobody knows where to turn. We're drowning, and we're drowning in 2 feet of water, punching up at the sky. You know, we're not going to win. We can't win. And if we go to war with who? Ghosts? Who are you going to fight? Everybody says the government. Who's the government? What are you going to do? Kill your next-door neighbor? You know, I mean, what are we going to do? Who are you fighting? So they got us. It was pretty slick. It's slick, you know. But if we, you know, try to do the right thing and be, you know, morally, consciously, stand up for something that's righteous and really do what the founders did. What did they do? They were righteous people. They pledged their lives, fortunes, families, every sacred honor all together to form this republic. And what did they say? Like you said, Sally, many times, what did the woman say? What have you done? We've given you a republic if you can keep it. And we lost it. We never kept it. We gave it away. And that's basically how we did, you know, through the Civil War and whatnot and many other actions. But we let it go. But it's still there. It's still there lawfully, believe it or not.
Right
if
now,
you do enough research.
Sitting there,
you know?
Idly sitting there with people under the impression that D.C. controls everything, when truly the District of Columbia, the U.S. corporation, only controls the that 10-mile square mile. They don't technically
control
anything else, but
you
want to
know, Sally?
Our rights to them without even knowing it.
Yeah, but
what's
you want to know, Sally, how they hold the states hostage? Money. Money. If
money,
the states don't cooperate with the federal government, they won't fund them. They won't give them their money. And then what do you do? Now the politicians look bad, right? And they don't get to be reelected.
Wait a minute. I went to our CFO in Florida, and I asked him if we were a donor state or a recipient state. And he said, oh, we're a donor state. I said, why are we doing that? I said, why don't you just
we
tell
give more money. We give more money to the federal government than we get back. Yeah,
we get back.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the administration to give you an invoice like every other business, and then pay the invoice if they do their job? Why? He said, wow, I never thought of that. Unfortunately, that was his last year in office, and the next one didn't get it and even wouldn't go there. But that's reality. You should find out whether you're a donor state or you're the recipient, and if you're a donor state, start working on your CFO.
Only politicians violate their oath of office. They violate their oath of office from the beginning. They lie, you know. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah, but they all lie, so now we know they lie. So let's work on what we know is the facts, and that you don't have to get involved in their lies.
Yeah, well, we have to break away. Exactly.
We have to break away. The states have to break away. The states have to break away from the federal government, from the federal trough. And in the case of Florida, we will be better off. We will be financially better off because we're a donor state. So go ahead, federal government. Keep your stinking money because we have more
money. Well, you can afford your assembly. You know, you can form these assemblies. That's how we did it in the beginning in 2010. Listen, we had Ron Paul on board. We had Rand Paul. We had Bob Barr. Not Bob Barr, the Attorney General, the other Bob Barr. And we had a lot of people across the country that were very much involved in this. We met with them. We had the military leaders at that time involved and that were on board. So this was a big thing that was very, very kept hush-hush for a while, and it started in actually 2005, and then, of course, when we served all the governors in 2009, 2010, that's when the media got a hold of it, and, of course, the Obama administration really put a number, and everybody was, like, so blinded that Obama was going to, yes, we can, remember that? Everybody was, you know, the Republican, the Tea Party was involved at that time, and they fell apart, so it was a lot going on. It was a very, very transitional time that we lost. Evil won at that time. You know, it won. And look where we're at now.
You have to learn by our mistakes and then redo the right way. And the right way, the first problem I believe that we have is that nobody understands what's going on. The only leader that seems to be cohesive for anyone is Trump. And the amount of money that is being pushed at the Never Trumpers is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I always tell everybody, okay, so he pledged, he gave $1 billion. How many votes does he have? Still only has one vote. We need to,
concentrate
on volume. In order to make all of these things work, which can all work with the right leadership, we have to win. And we lose sight of that. So that's where I am right now.
Every state has to be. Look, you need governors. You got to have a governor in each state. You got to have your legislative. You got to have representatives. You got to have your own elections. But how do you do that? You got to start with your assemblies. You got to start. That's why we always used to say start with your local sheriff. The constitutional sheriff thing got lost.
You have to vet your candidates, and you have to. I went to my, unfortunately, all those people that you were talking about, many of them were the first generation end of the World War II generation and the beginning of the baby boomers. And many of these people are, as we say, have left the room. They've died.
So it's
a new crop of people, and our group that's left, like myself,
I would say from 60 up has to turn around and educate the ones from 60 down to become the next leaders, because many of these people, and you can tell by the organization, still, yes, they may be mothers against whatever, but they don't know anything about the economy, and they don't know what's going on in the border, and they don't know about Ukraine because they're so busy with soccer practice, which they should be doing as a mother.
Well, hang on. We don't want to get distracted again. We don't want to get distracted.
No,
we have to stick to the problem, you know.
We have to win. That's it. There is nothing else. We have to win. And if Donald Trump is the ticket, then he's the ticket. And it is.
Well, hang on. He's not the ticket for solving all the problems. It's up to the individual state.
Hold on a second. Let me put a question out there. Hold on a second. Then Karen, I'll have you chime in, and then Joe. What I'm thinking right now, of course, when I say these kind of things, it's like, how much of the reality are we going to get people to know and understand enough to do anything? But technically, if we were going to do what we're talking about here, restoring the organic United States, the Republic, which is not the corporation, which is not D.C., Trump has to get elected for the state, not for the District of Columbia. Right now, he's getting elected for the District of Columbia, not for that. How do we somehow get this focused over? We need to elect you for the real United States, not the fake one, not the district, not the corporation.
Trump understands this. He knows this because when his inauguration speech, if you remember, he says, I'm giving you back your republic. He said that,
yeah.
You know, so he understood this because he met with many people in the Republic before he was elected. And like I said, Ron Paul was involved at that time. A lot of people were, but you couldn't just go out to 6 o'clock news and talk about this because people would, start fighting. I mean, when you tell people their food stamps are going to, 48 million people aren't going to get food stamps starting next year, there's going to be a problem. You know, so there's a huge sacrifice that has to go on here, and people need to understand that.
Maybe they'll go back
and I think at that point, let me put one thing real quick in there, and then Karen, with that same thing, again, being that Florida is a donor state, if Florida feels like it needs to have a food stamp program, we can do that on our own because we have more money. We are losing money giving it to the district. So we can do this on our own. The ones that are still going to stay part of – those that want to be part of the corporation are going to be the Michigans and the California and the New York, the ones – that truly are the communist states, we want to call it that, whatever. Already subservient to the corporation kind of thing.
It goes to jurisdiction
like
then. Yeah, it goes on jurisdiction then. What jurisdiction do you want to be under, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to be a big question that the states are going to have to answer.
And right now I know nobody's really asking the states. Karen, you were going to say something. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh,
was it Karen or Cindy? I know
somebody with background noise.
Oh, is that because I'm outside? So nice. Beautiful outside. I want to enjoy it. Am I making too much noise?
Well, yeah, it's kind of distracting.
Unfortunately.
We have to keep our eye on the ball. We have only one thing that we can do, and we have to win. And we are not going to win doing the same thing that we have done in the past because we didn't win then, and nothing is going to change. And we have to come up with plans, whatever, to get into the younger generation because they are the ones that are next in line, and if we don't interact with them, it doesn't matter what we do because we'll be right back in the same position. It won't matter. So we have to step out of our comfort zone and go to the young people. How many go to a young Republican meeting or a youth center or something like that? We have to get out of our comfort zone and get there and talk to them, not as a Republican or a conservative, but as an American.
This is going to be if we don't win in a super duper landslide. That's the only way that there is no way to cheat against. Then we're toast. So there's nothing really more to talk about other than how we're going to do that.
Karen. Yeah, Karen. I was going to say, adding to what Karen, I've seen that the next generation is what takes the socialists or the dictators or whoever they are. You know, they understand reach the children. But Obama, and I'm no problem with a president going to a school, but Obama goes in and he's not reaching the kids' minds; he's reaching their hearts. I remember two things that I didn't have to take notes on. One was Bruce Ray Riggs says, "I can teach a 16-year-old kid this, and he just gobbles it up. But it's hard to tell a 35-year-old man." Because it's just not where he's at. And the other thing I remembered was whenever Barack Obama got elected, you were on the Andrea Shea King show, and she asked you, how long does it take for this country to get for us to turn it back? And you said 4 years, because we got 2 years of kids graduating. Two more years after that, we got enough people from those two graduations in the next election, presidential election, that will vote along with Obama, and the one thing that will get them to the polls is the marijuana. And I remember that.
And
you know, it really is the next. It's reaching the next generation, and you know.
Yeah. Well, right.
And
this goes back to. How marketing, how the fact that, well, we've got a media that's totally corrupt and everything else, the media is a virus, but the marketing, it's all a marketing game. That's why we've been allowed to fall into so much of this, is because, I mean, they make it sound, all these immigrants, we're freeing all these illegals, we're helping all these people. Well, we're not helping them, and we're not helping ourselves. We're all the evilness that's associated to it, but, you know, and how many people are still out there saying, oh, we should let everybody come to this country, whatever. We, you know, having a few terror cells out in Fargo, North Dakota is no big deal. Go ahead and have them. Go ahead. I mean, the insanity, but because of these, just like Obamacare, well, everybody needs health care. How did Obamacare play the same game with this corporation and getting these states entangled in this mess and that kind of stuff? But again, if you're in a donor state, this may be where we end up truly have a way to split up, have the real United States, and then we have the corporation United States, the communist United States, and then the free United States, because of the red states who are self-sufficient, who don't need federal government money. We go over here, we go and form those militias. Remember, we have the right to form a state militias. We go out there and we form our own government, and we work together to restore the United States. Now, Michigan, if you want to continue to be part of the corporation and the communist state that you are, go for it, whatever, and then get the other states together. Obviously, it will get real messy if you're picking, and the states are all scattered about and commingled, if you will. It's not like you have a solid border between the U.S. corporation and the free states, because that's what I see is you're either part of the corporation or you're part of the free states. Right now, the free states don't have any elected representatives. I mean, that's the way I'm seeing it, unless I'm missing something here.
Well, you know, Russia, there was a psychologist, I remember in 2008 it came out. They said by 2010, a Russian psychologist predicted it years earlier, by 2010 America would be broken up in different, and it had, you know, different countries, and they had a map of different. You just type in psychologist predicts America will split up. You'll see the way he had the maps, and he did this years before. And I thought it was neat that he predicted it by 2010. In 2008, the Tea Party is rising up. But I thought that was pretty neat. The people are coming back. But the worst part about it is the Republicans jumped out in front of the Tea Party movement.
Well, of course. So. But, again, they're the part of the corporation. I mean, McConnell is the corporation all the way around. McConnell is not an American. He's a corporation. He's a slave. Oh, well, I shouldn't say, but he's part of the corporate entity that wants to own and control us. And that's why he has his allegiances to China, not to us. China's a bigger corporate partner to him, not us.
And
of course, right now, after what we just saw with McConnell and his dead stare, you would think some of these morons, the other Republicans, would do something. But, again, they truly are. And maybe that's the key here, and I don't mean to interrupt here, but as I'm kind of brainstorming, and next week I think we really need to take a deeper dive on how we would do some of this. But, right, isn't that we have to contact these people and say, but you're actually part of the corporation, right? You know, Ted Cruz, you're not really a representative or a senator of your state. You're a senator for the corporation. Do you understand that? Convince me. Tell me why you're not a member of that U.S. corporation. Tell me how you're a true senator for the people of the states versus the corporation. I mean, if we could get everybody, which as many people as possible, whatever, the more the merrier, to call their representative, their senators, whatever, and put that question to them. And I posted the information out there in the chat as well as what's in the some of the links on the show. Anybody can go out there and go and look at some of these things and do your own searches too. Feel free. And then send that to them and say, well, you're part of the corporation. Here's the corporation. Tell me why you are not part of this corporation. And tell me why my Social Security number or my name is all in all caps. My birth certificate's all caps. All this cap stuff. Because I want to break away from the corporation. I want to be part of the United States of America versus the U.S. corporation. How do I break away? And you're part of the corporation, so we need somebody to actually be for the United States versus the corporation. How many people out there would be willing to take a few minutes to go make a few phone calls and put that out there in front of them? Needless to say, you can call your local talk shows and whatever else and really not to try to put the idea out in front of people. I mean, let's face it, nobody was really talking about 15-minute cities a few weeks ago. I mean, they've been out there. Glenn Beck has it in his book. It's nothing truly new. 15-minute cities are scattered around the world already, but they're coming here now. And I've actually heard more about the 15-minute cities in the past two or three weeks than I have in the past 2 years. And it's because enough people are starting to talk outside of mainstream media. So we got to get people thinking about it and making phone calls. We've got to call. I'm not in Texas, but I could. I would not hesitate to call Ted Cruz. Everybody call Rand Paul. Rand Paul, of all people, Ron Paul was so great. I would have loved it if Ron Paul would have been the president. I did what I could to try and help that one, but he was obviously too much of an American and a true United States president versus a corporation kind of thing.
So would they have done him like they did Trump?
Well, yeah. No. Well, of course they would have. I mean, they would have done that. But we would have. Wouldn't it have been nice to have been woken up back then instead of now? Because that's when the Tea Party stuff and everything else was going on. We could have got probably more the movement to be a lot better. So that's kind of. And what is? Why doesn't Trump say something about the corporation? And maybe he has in some weird way, but it hasn't been that people aren't connecting the dots. So, I mean, you know, the Democrats are the ones who really do like the U.S. corporation, and it should be in theory. They're the ones because they're much more the communist, the Marxist side of the thing. They want somebody else to control everything. And the so-called Republican, if you believe in such a thing, the true Americans are the ones who believe in the freedom, who believe in the organic United States of America. So we got to get that conversation going out there. We've got to get that out there.
You can go to the Republic of the United States .org. They got all the information there. I got a website up now, Nation Builder. I want everybody to come over there and, start uniting and coming together and get as many as we can. It's all about numbers, but more the better. But it's not about numbers. It's about quality. You know, we get the quality of the educated people. There's no reason with the tools we have now, we cannot get the mission started and maybe even completed before our lifetime is over without having to go to war.
Right. And again, that's the whole point of next week's conversation. Excuse me. How do we take back the restore, whatever you want to call it, the United States of America, not the United States Corporation. We've got to get people to understand there's two things out there. And right now,
the United
States of America is just sitting there.
That's my platform, Sally. It always gets lost in throughout my campaign, or it did last, you know. But that's why I'm running for office, to restore the de jure constitution, the de jure form of government. So that means I would have, you know, as soon as I was elected, I would put on notice, my fellow legislators, that would put on the floor the quorum that we would have to restore our original republic. And that's what I would want. And having a platform, being an elected official talking about this would give me more stature, just like it did Ron Paul. But I need the people behind me, too.
Yes, we have to break the contract with the U.S. corporation. The states have to break the contract with the U.S. corporation. And when I say break it, it means stop their money. So stop being held hostage by the money that's there. And again, Florida is a donor state. Florida doesn't have to. We would be so much better off without being held hostage to the corporation. It's just, it's. And I'm glad Karen pointed that out. Like, and how many states are donor states?
That information was old, so I have to check and make sure it's still valid. But that information was from when we first went, what was his name, Atwater.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lost on that. What's a donor state? I don't get it.
We pay
in
more
taxes
than we get back.
I did this on the transportation thing. I think transportation is the easiest way to say it. We're all paying federal transportation gas taxes. We all pay federal gas taxes because we're part of their program, the corporation. And at the end of the day, at the end of the year, Florida – we may be saved for the sake of this example. Florida in federal gas taxes paid in to the federal government $10 billion in federal gas taxes. Now, when it came time for the federal government to come build a U.S. highway or the interstate, building out of our tax dollars out of the trust fund, highway trust fund, Florida only got back $2 billion. We gave them how many billions, and all we got back was two. Keep our own money. Instead of paying a federal gas tax, we can put a little bit more into the state gas tax. Of course, me and the trust funds. But the whole point is, let's keep our gas taxes right here in Florida, and we'll build our own stinking roads. Now, when it comes to the interstate highway system, it's a commingled system, but that's a little bit different there, explaining how you would do it.
How it's supposed to be.
I hope that explains it.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to be.
Correct.
It's supposed to be that way.
Correct. Yeah, and when it comes to an interstate highway system, if the states come together and enter into a interstate highway agreement that everybody participates in that, it's not the U.S. corporation. It's the states having a compact to go out there and build an interstate highway system that they all network together, which makes sense. You can't go out there and have an interstate highway system in every state. You know what I'm saying? There are times when we want to work together to connect the dots and get across the country and things like that. And Florida can't go and be building interstate highways out there in Montana. You know, so you would have a compact between the states of, here, we're going to work together on this and create this network of roads. It wouldn't be the U.S. corporation. That's the whole point. Get away from the U.S. corporation. Unless I'm totally missing something, this is where we need to go. But we have to make sure people understand Washington, the District of Columbia, and the corporation. And it's very, Cindy, who's very well-educated on this stuff, hopefully this has cleared up some of this, too, because I know you weren't as familiar with it. If Cindy is still out there, I can't even see if Cindy is still there. Cindy, are you still there? I see you're there, but you may be on mute. Excuse me. But anyway, that's the whole point. What I'm saying is truly nothing new. I'm hoping I'm just putting it in a slightly different way that people, maybe it's a little bit more easy to digest or to share with others. Understand? Do you want your state to be part of the corporation, or part of the United States of America?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. You know, and there's not. It doesn't have to be that hard to figure out or explain to people. You know.
They won't
well,
get it.
It's true. Yeah, well, the hard part about the explaining, which I think everybody on this call is going to know, is we have this thing called a fake media thing and the propaganda and a public school system, too. Mm-hmm. So you got to get past, you got to tell them, well, you know, seek the truth, the truth.
There's not enough
time. It's all out there about the corporation. What's that? Go ahead, Karen.
There's not enough time for the 2024 election. There's not enough time to do that. Not enough people will be reached.
We don't have to worry about stuff like that, times and everything. We start, you know, there was no time to the rebel 1776,
right, so
you know.
What we have to do is win in 24. That's what we have to
do.
Well,
yeah, and
so
I'm not arguing that point.
Question,
yeah.
I was thinking of an example. People are not asking the why question. They'll say something like, a commentator will say, Donald Trump is divisive. There's never a question that says, give me an example of when he was divisive. There's never an example of anything. And that's up to us to make sure those are the questions that are answered now. Why? Give me an example. Tell me how that's going on. Because if we don't do that, we are allowing them to get away with the surface. They're going to win on the surface. That's how they won the last time. It's the surface because nobody had any depth. Nobody asked them why. And
hey, Sally, do you have... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Problem. And I wanted to give you an example of that. I went to my school board superintendent. This was not recently. This was about 5 years ago. And I asked him how much the county got from the federal government. How much of budget? And he said, about 8%, 5 to 8%, depending upon the project. So to implement a government-mandated program or a government program in the school, the government was paying an 8% of budget. And I said, and how much does it cost to implement the government program?
Mm.
So he said, about 30%. So I said, let me get this straight. You're getting $8. You're paying $30.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the $22 that we're missing here to implement this
program?
Put
that guy in charge of the math.
Every kid, it's costing us $22 to implement the program.
It's not costing us anything. It's fake money.
Wait a minute. That doesn't matter. So you know what his answer was? I never thought of that. And that's the problem.
Yep, they never thought about it.
Accountable. We don't have them accountable. We don't make them answer the question. We don't ask the why question.
Well,
and if we don't do that to vet our candidates, then we're in big trouble, and that's been our problem all along. We take this guy because he's cute or he's been there forever.
Well,
but
because of marketing. It all comes down to the marketing. We're picking
marketing.
People based on a pretty face and garbage versus tough questions. But right now, I would say the majority of Americans and Floridians, voters, whoever, don't know enough to go out there and say, do you support the U.S. corporation or do you support the United States of America?
That's what I mean.
They would have deer in the headlights.
Right. Right. That's why we have to win first. Because if we win,
but at the same time, we have to start planting the seeds in here. We want freedom, people.
Yeah.
We don't want part of. We want people who don't want to be part of the corporation. We need to be educating them at the same time.
Yeah. Do we got about 6 minutes? I got something.
Yep.
We got about 6 minutes.
Okay.
I got.
Yep. Okay. Hold on 1 second, real quick. Yeah. Well, right now I think we still got somewhere about 20 minutes left on the show before it totally gets cut. I want to make one comment. Just for the sake, Brother Warren's out there. This is his last show until he goes on his trip, and we do wish him a safe trip. But I have to comment on this one silly last comment. Just for the fun of it, I'm going to do this. Sally, the way you sound now, you are going to get yourself arrested like the Jan 6 rioters. I'm really concerned for you. I mean, that is such a silly thing to say. Come on, Brother Warren, you can do business. I'm talking about the facts. I read it. I gave you the link to it. The U.S. corporation is real. It's real. It's all out there. So, you know, whatever. It's not
Father
seceding
heaven,
from the U.S. It's restoring the U.S., not seceding.
Yeah.
Right now, we got a fake government. We got a government that's only covering, that's only legal, legitimate authority is over the District of Columbia and the acquired territories. That district does not have the right over us. The corporation does not have the right over the rest of the states. That is what this whole point is. Kind of like what Nathan has said and finally got through on the fact about the amendments. Every American has the right to vote for the president. That's part of our organic constitution. Now, we talk about this corporate constitution.
Yeah, I've got something actually on that.
But anyway, okay. So going back to you, sorry, Joe. We're going to carry this conversation on next week. It really is going to be that. But go ahead. You got 6 minutes to play something?
Yeah, I wanted to play something that's real quick. Something that's very important that could give you an outline and talking points that would give us a base to start for on your next show next week, if I got your permission to do that real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
All right. About 6 minutes long. I appreciate it. Thank you.
With any person, living or fictitious, with the fully informed and willful intent to deprive ourselves or to be deprived by others of any unalienable rights granted to us by the self-existing Creator and guaranteed by the constitutions of the free republics of North America and the United States of America Republic, circa 1787. Whereas we have become aware that each of the free American republics and the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, circa 1787, have been preempted by military power and emasculated by fraudulent, coercive, and deceitful methods of economic and political warfare imposed by corporations posing as legitimate governments. Therefore, we, the sovereign people of the free American republics, do hereby and herewith, number one, assemble under God for all the world to hear and see upon each state's signatories hereto, numbering at least 26 souls, and organize under God as the well-regulated guardians of the free republics. Number two, restore and re-inhabit through this declaration the legitimate constitutional governments of these free republics in peace and harmony. Number three, conclude the era of illicit corporate governance by renouncing in the presence of the Creator forever and without contrived ambiguity all permissions, delegations of authority, and grants of attorney, real or imagined, to corporations posing as legitimate governments, in particular, the United States Federal Corporation and all subdivisions thereof. Number four, assemble upon each state's signatories hereto numbering at least 26 souls, de jure grand juries in the people's common law, herein authorized in remedy of the self-evident expositions of truth attached hereunder, to forthwith order and conduct forensic accounting of the various trusts and so-called legacy accounts attributed to the people, to facilitate a return to the people of the wealth which has been taken by fraudulent artifice on the part of the banking institutions of this or any country, in particular the ill-gotten gains of foreclosure and fraudulent foreign taxation, to peacefully eliminate all existing government structures, entities, and agencies that have been derived from the de facto corporations posing as legitimate governments, to issue orders to the military, police, and corporate powers of the land and sea to enforce our divine rights to such lawful government as was already ensured by our constitutions, and restore de facto actors to lawful de jure capacity duly confined by the constitutions of these republics, and replace the noncompliant, thus restoring to each and every American their in-law, dry land, divine rights of birth, and the fruits of their individual and ancestral labor as quickly, efficiently, and discreetly as possible, without causing undue alarm or stress, and without malice for anyone. Number five, forgive in the name of the Creator all who repent their political and economic misdeeds. It is hereby so decreed and ordered by the sovereign people of these free American republics assembled herein. Friends, that is the text of the one-page declaration that we are bringing forth this week, to which is attached another 30 or so pages of orders.
All right, so there you go. That's the start of it right there. I mean, what do you think thus far? That's what was, that was the plan that was originally, that began, that I was talking about back in 2010. There's a lot more to it, obviously, but you have to have a foundation to start with, you know?
Right.
And that's the only lawful way that these researchers and these people came up with to restore peacefully our republic lawfully with to our Constitution, organic Constitution.
Right. And the people have to reject the corporation. That's ultimately, that's what it all comes down to. We do not want to be part of this corporation. We have to break the ties with the corporation and restore the organic
when
republic.
We do that. Yeah, yeah. But when we do that, we have to have something to fall back on, and that, you know, and under, and let the people understand that this isn't just every man for himself. You know, hey, I got this problem. Hey, I want this problem. Hey, I got this problem. Hey, what about my problem? No, no, we got to stay focused, you know, and
right.
That's the key, and that's the very much the key, you know, that people have to get this clouded thing out of their head that the Federal Reserve and the money that they have in their pocket is real. It's fake. It's all fake, it's, you know, and people have to understand that.
But yeah, exactly. They have to. And the thing is, and this kind of goes back to what Karen was saying, I totally understand, the 2024, and we said this a couple weeks back on the show, we have to focus on this 2024 election. If we do not gain some control of the U.S. corporation, and that's what I think we have to focus, the 2024 election is to take back the corporation, or to, I don't want to say take it back, but want to control. We want to change the CEO and the board of directors of the U.S. corporation.
Yes.
Maybe if I put it that way. We want to change that. And we want those people who are going to be the ones who are maybe not willing, but understand enough to help dissolve the corporation. We can dissolve the corporation. Let that U.S. corporation go bankrupt and put us back on our own free footing of our own
state. Well, they're already bankrupt. Yeah. They're already bankrupt. Yeah, well,
we already know we're bankrupt, yes, but I'm trying to put it more in the business terms of thinking of a corporation versus a sovereign nation. We need to be a sovereign nation, not a corporation. And I think that somehow, some way, that's the message we have to be putting out there for the 2024 election. Karen, are you still there? Does that make sense to you, or how do we get that message across, too? I mean, to me, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, you know, that is what we have to turn our sights to. Every organization, you know, you can fight for whatever it is you want to fight for, but if we don't win the election, it doesn't make any difference. And what they have
planned, you know,
is ugly.
Yeah,
we
go through this over and over again,
ugly,
but that's what we say for every election. We're going to go out there and we're going to fight for this election. And I truly do believe if we don't change the board of directors, and I'm saying the board of directors are called senators and representatives, and the CEO is called the president.
We have to start vetting the candidates we should be looking now. If you know of anyone, it could be running for office.
And I'm one guy right here.
Volunteer. Volunteer. Do things like that. And get good people to run. And don't think just because they're mouthing you that they're good people. Vet them. Find out who they are. We have a bad habit of taking somebody because they have a pretty face instead of what they can do. You know, they know how to talk to them or whatever. That's a bad idea.
I just learned
yep,
something
Nathan?
I didn't know. Yeah, I just learned something I didn't know. And I looked into it, and I think it's probably real. But in 1976, the year that we were celebrating our Bill of Rights, or independence, Directive of Independence, yeah, the independence, the Declaration of Independence, in Washington there was 148 Congress members signed a document called the Declaration of Interdependence. And it was a document that, a plan or a document they did, some kind of a convention way back couple generations back on globalizing this thing. I never heard about it till just recently. And somebody, I went back and looked at it, and sure enough, there was a, it was a commitment to globalize this thing, and then in 1976, they re-signed, some of them made, that wasn't around then, made a commitment to our global and interdependence. Type in Declaration of Interdependence, that beginning will come up, but it keeps coming up, independence, but you got to look hard for it, because it was 1976. I found it by something. Bobby Bean sent this to me, and it was that YouTube like thing that comes from China. There's some kind
of TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. It was on TikTok. He sent it over to me. I looked at it, and I started searching around for it, and it's like, wow, this must be real. He showed the list of people way back in another time that made this commitment, and so I was like, man, these people are committed. They really are committed.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's scary.
It was a formal thing. It was a formal thing, just like what you guys are talking about. We need to do this, this, and this, and remind people we did it, and on down the line, and it's like, wow, this is crazy. These people really are committed.
This is
their religion. This is their religion, and their religion is Mother Earth, Gaia, or Gaia, depending upon what part of the country you come from. And they even have a pledge to Mother Earth. I pledge allegiance to the Earth. And they do everything in the name of the earth, and that's how they get with all of the conservation. That's how they're getting all the land. And they are really committed to destroying humanity so that wildlife can survive. And they have not changed in the last 100 years. And the worst part is their kids, who are less educated, are more committed. Because when you take away God, well, they were secular, so that's their religion. So they have to find something to replace it. And
wow.
They have decided they are God. But they answer to Mother Earth, and they have to revere Mother Earth, because anything that they do, you know, will harm Mother Earth. And we give them hundreds of billions of dollars so that they can steal our land and destroy. I mean, think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. We used to have a thriving lumber business in the panhandle. It was well known for the lumber. Oregon was number one in the world in lumber. So what did they do? Because of some stupid owl or bird, they shut down the forest, wouldn't let them log anymore, and now they won't even let them clear the land. So the land, instead of being used, the trees for good, are going up in smoke as they're being burned. And we're allowing these idiots to continue doing it. That's our fault.
All right. Yeah.
It's our fault.
Well,
we have to elect the right people.
Well, we have actually, I'm noticing we are down to the last couple minutes here. So I'm going to kind of do a quick wrap up. And just remember, this is the conversation we're going to be continuing on next week as the silent revolution, how we go and take back our country and reject the U.S. corporation. And then this is sort of going on. I mean, they're not saying reject the U.S. corporation, but we're out there talking about different things about rejecting the vaccine. Well, who's all this vaccine crap coming from? The corporation. And rejecting, of course, the taxes. Messy. It's not like everybody's going to do this overnight. But the thing is, we got to understand who the enemy is. We talk all the time, understand who the enemy is. The enemy of our freedom, of our republic, is the U.S. corporation, which has been taken over by a group of globalists, and was created by a bunch of globalists whose intent was to totally take over, and they've been allowed to take much more control over us than what they are legally, constitutionally allowed to do, which kind of goes back to our Constitution of States discussion.
Yeah.
Somebody want to say something real quick? I'm sorry. Who was that?
I was going to say to Joe, have you ever heard of Bruce Ray Riggs? Have you ever heard of a Bruce Ray Riggs?
Yes, I think I have.
Yeah, go to DirtyUncleSam.com, and this guy, he's along the same lines. I think you'll see stuff you probably never heard of, but this guy's got documents from early America, copies of it, and
Okay. Don't mean to cut you off here, but we truly are at the last minute, and we're going to get cut off here at any minute. Thank you so much, Joe. You're going to talk about this tomorrow on your show, Restore the Republic?
Yeah, I may even do a little show later on here. Who knows? I don't know. You guys got me fired up here.
Well, I'll keep an eye out to see if I see anything coming through.
All right,
yeah,
Kelly.
Yes. Thank you so much. Great discussion. Everybody, share this information. We've got to continue this, and it all comes down to 2024. If we do not change the CEO and the board of directors and the U.S. corporation, then we're going to be in trouble. So that is it, and we have to take our message out there, and we've got to start getting it out there. And with that being said, amen, exactly. Sorry I didn't get to do a roundtable. If everybody give a final thought here, but we truly are. I'm showing 10:01, so we may already be disconnected. But
no,
anyway,
we're still here.
I'll send it to you, Joe.
All righty.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Come on
my show.
Yep, thank you so much. God bless America. The truth will set us free, and we're facing the truth. We got to get the truth out there. Please, everybody, tune in later tonight, possibly tomorrow on Joe's show, and next week. And Karen, you got your show coming up too. What do you give you as quick as I can to say what you got coming up on your next show? Oh, okay. I think that was it.
Guess that's it. All up.
I think that was it. I don't know if Karen heard me or not, but okay. Yep. Okay. Anyway, good night, everyone, and God bless America.